away, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we like it to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. That always makes me laugh when I hear that. The gang is all here. We're in full AFC championship mode. Doctor's in the booth. Where's Gary today, doctor?
Prepping for the game.
What does that mean?
It's all not here. Say.
Taking a shower, shaving.
Lots of meetings, kind of under the weather. He's all over the place.
Thinking of entertaining things that they won't do on the field before the game?
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about here. Of course, the Randy Moss thing yesterday, which basically no new news there. But from what I hear, Bill Belichick had a pretty good press conference today.
Yeah. The Chargers have no chance. It was like comedy hour.
Tell me about it.
Comedic act day two.
Tell me about it.
What do you think of the San Diego Chargers theme song?
I hate that song.
I've never heard it before.
Oh, my God. Yes, you have.
First of all, we were in San Diego last year at this time.
Oh, is that rock song that the guy
Well, and the song was played about 4,000 times.
That was the live modern version.
San Diego.
How does that go?
That's enough.
Come on.
And he went to a whole thing about that.
Supercharge.
And then he said that Hail to the Redskins is not my favorite either.
Yeah. He went on a whole rant and then said, yeah, I don't like Hail to the Redskins either.
Somebody asked if he's ever considered... Is this it?
Oh, I like it.
You're a bad DJ, though. You're supposed to have it ready for the music.
Yeah. We didn't hit the post.
All right. Sorry. Where's the part where they go, Sandy?
Other than that, it's just random music.
That's like when you go to buy a song on iTunes, you kind of don't know what it sounds like. They give you the part that doesn't mean anything.
Right. I hate that.
They should always play the chorus.
Right.
Exactly. The hook. Hook me in. But somebody asked if he's ever had thought of having Bon Jovi write one for the Patriots, and he said, "Yeah, no, maybe I'll do that." Him and Bruce. Oh, there it is.
Oh, that's awful.
That's what Bill said. He hates that song.
That is awful.
I mean, you look back.
I hate that song.
Got into his whole thing.
He talked about the Giants and being there with Joyner and Jefferson and Fouts. And
well, Fouts was last, and he almost forgot about him.
Right. By the time they played the song,
we're right. Fouts sucked.
They played the song on a touchdown, and before it was even over, they had already scored again. And you know, it was one of those things. He has that song ingrained in his head.
What other jokes did he have today?
Let's see. The weather.
opposite of cold.
Wait, what factor is the cold?
No, he was asked about which element is the hardest to deal with, and he said it all depends on what aspect of the game. And then the follow-up question was, what kind of impact does extreme cold have? Answer, the opposite of hot.
Oh, that's good.
Dress warm, the opposite of hot, I think was exactly what he said, right?
Yep.
So he had his fastball back. Again, Tuesday, little cranky. Yesterday and today, back to his regular season.
So it's the opposite of what he's actually saying. He tells us, the more I look at the Chargers, the more there is to look at. But in reality, the more he looks at the Chargers, the happier he gets, it seems.
Saying Ted Cottrell's and change the thing.
Right.
Okay.
He's giddy.
Locker room. How was that? Yeah.
There wasn't much going on.
I didn't stay for the...
Nobody being chased out. Nobody...
No. Well, there was no way it was going to live up to yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't duplicate that drama. But Moss was nowhere to be found today. I didn't see him at all. Did you guys see him?
Mm-mm. No.
Let's see. Who went to the podium? Dan Copen, Matt Light, Seau, and
Rodney.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't stay for any of the people at the podium, but I also didn't talk to anybody in the locker room, so I was pretty much useless today.
Huge circle around Lawrence Maroney.
Okay. Made up of people?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And you weren't one of them, I guess?
Oh, I was, but then the questions
went
were
down
bad,
there.
So I left.
I was
30 feet out, and somebody said, how do you like your team's chances? And he said, what kind of question is that?
Lawrence said that?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Kind of. And then he you know, he didn't do it as a jerk. He did it as, like, kind of smile. But, no, we were joking because guys were getting interviewed like that Dan Conley guy, the practice squad lineman, the backup quarterbacks. It was pretty
it's
much
like
media
day.
Storm.
Yeah,
yes,
it was kind of a quiet day, even
except
though there was a lot of
Brady
people.
And, like, big-name players. There weren't a lot of big-name players available.
Although Lonnie Paxton had some good music coming out of his
playing, like,
Def Leppard.
1985
Boys,
Def Leppard.
Boys, yep.
I saw Lonnie Paxton on TV. He had a thing about his place, his house in
that's what Eric was saying.
Southern California. I mean, he's got a whole grotto in the back, and then he's got all these extreme, you know, for the cycling and everything, all the hills. He's got a whole course back there, and it's a real swinging bachelor's pad.
You and Eric been hanging out?
No, it was
he
on...
said the exact same. It was almost the exact same wording.
Really? Yeah.
What was it on? Cribs?
No, it was either on. NFL, it was either on the NFL Network or on All Access. I forget which one.
It was probably All Access.
Yeah. I think it was All Access.
Because I'm not sure the NFL Network would make their way down to Lonnie Paxton on the Star.
Well, you know, funny that you say that. Inside the NFL, I think it was last week, had a nice piece on Marquise Hill. And I thought, you know, it was nice. They had his mother on and everything.
How is it funny that I said that? I mean.
No, but, you know, you're talking about. They wouldn't make their way down to Lonnie Paxton's place.
Oh, if Paxton died, I think they would do a special on him.
Well, they took a long time to do Marquise Hill.
Well, I think the story is, you know, I didn't see it, so I should say, but it was the story you said it was about his mother and, you know, maybe how the family has coped with it.
It was
with
more
the season
about
being
Marquise
over
Hill as a nice person and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
A little late.
Yeah.
Yeah, then in that regard, I would say it was late.
Yeah.
If it was about Hill himself.
Yeah,
and not
was.
Necessarily about the aftermath of
no,
the family is dealing with it.
Yeah, so thought that was a little bit interesting. And I guess last night on Inside the NFL, they followed Robert Kraft around during the before and the game, and that was all on Inside the NFL last night. So I'm going to see if they repeat that tonight. Look at that.
Okay.
I guess Donald Trump was here and all that stuff. So.
Oh, you didn't see it? You usually watch that show.
Yeah, I know. I missed it. I haven't watched much TV this weekend. I don't know why, but TV hasn't come
on. It's because you're on edge.
I am on edge.
Yeah, you're too
why?
Edgy. You're too edgy.
I'm edgy.
Bill's not edgy.
I don't know why.
There's a lot of stuff.
14-point favorites. What are you worried about?
Busy.
Wow, you're distracted. Not focused on the game, are you, huh?
I wish I could just think about just the game.
Seems like since Brian Morey came back, he's got a lot more work to do. What's going on?
He's helping Brian, who doesn't know how to do his
work.
Job.
Creates work.
Because Brian's still in the deep end.
Sort of like when Bill has Matt Patricia as a first-year linebacker coach.
Let me ask you an important question. Is the Papagenos here a Papagenos and D'Angelo duel?
No.
Okay.
It's next. There's a D'Angelo's next door.
All right. We're all right.
All right. You ready to order? I circled mine. Chicken Caesar pocket.
Well, it's come to this where Tom is actually buying us lunch. That's
because all you frauds.
I'm done with the fans. I'm done with
how
them.
Low can
I've
you go?
I've been supporting them this whole time.
All these frauds that lined up supposedly to buy us lunch. Where's the lunch?
Nothing.
All right. Some more football news. Yesterday's injury report from San Diego.
Also
Rivers,
known as a Pro Bowl roster.
Rivers, Gates, and Tomlinson did not practice.
And Jamal Williams.
He didn't practice either, and Merriman was limited, right?
Right. That's a lot of talent right there.
We know from experience that you can't put too much weight on the injury reports. But if they say they didn't practice, that means they didn't practice. Supposedly,
I don't even go that far.
Well, you can be audited at any time now.
I know
you could. I don't know if anyone ever has been, but.
But I think that there is something to the fact. If four guys of that stature didn't practice at all, they're dealing with something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
I wouldn't be surprised if two out of the three main guys there didn't finish the game.
Oh, yeah. I think they're all going to play, but they're all going to be affected.
Normally, I would probably take the points here because I think it's a lot of points in a championship game. But just the fact that you don't know who's gonna be there in the third and fourth quarter could make this ugly.
Yeah, it's true.
And if they fall behind, you know, it could really steamroll where those guys are ineffective early. They fall behind and they come out of the game, and now backups are in the game to try to, you know, stage some sort of comeback. And, you know, not like a regular season game where you might just kind of throw in the towel and say, you know, well, you know, we'll get them next week. It's the AFC Championship game, so there's not going to be any concession on the other team. You know, if they're down 21 at the half, they're not going to be content to just kind of play out the string. They're going to do whatever they can, and that, it could get ugly.
All right. On the phone right now is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, I want to say thank you to Jason, the new guy. He remembered the music.
Good, good.
Nice.
Gary's in there pressing the button.
He forgot the lunch, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. Reason why I was calling is because I listened to the podcast yesterday, and it seems like it's been a little bit of a subject for, like, well, since I've been listening to PFW about Tippett, Andre Tippett.
Yep.
Here's my suggestion. Fred, you're the head of the media relations, right? Or
no, no, I have nothing to
Nobody
do with
knows
the
what Fred is, actually.
I still have yet to know exactly what you do.
Good. Let's keep it that way.
I'm going on 7.
He's not in media relations, however. He's right about that.
All
That's
right,
a whole
but,
different
but listen,
department.
Fred, you like Andre Tippett, correct?
Sure I do. He's a nice guy, and he can kick my ass, so I have to say that.
This is what you need to do to help him out. What I was thinking was that you get, like, all the great footage of all the great linebackers in Patriots history, and you put it together on one tape and sell it as a DVD, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And have him as the, you know, the centerpiece and just have all of his greatest hits.
Andre's, okay.
That is a problem, Fred. There's not, no one ever shows video of him, no one talks about
him. The organization
him, no
isn't pushing him enough.
No, you're right. I mean, I was listening to NFL Sirius last night, and, you know, they were talking about the class, and they talked Art Monk and Kuchenberg and who's the kid from Washington, the little... Daryl Green.
They Where were you going with that?
They didn't,
Howard Cosell.
Thanks for saving him, Tom.
They didn't mention Andre. I can't believe they didn't. They mentioned Derek Thomas,
right,
from Kansas City. They did not mention Andre Tippett. I'm like,
nobody ever.
They
does.
Never do.
The Patriots need to get him, especially now where the Patriots are at the top of the NFL. You have to get him out there. I don't think they do enough. I think they sit on their
exactly.
cans.
You got to strike while the iron is hot. You know, especially with this. You know, we're going for history here. Yeah. You know, just take a little initiative. You'll make, like, the Patriots will make money selling this DVD, and then, like, you'll open up those fans, those young kids, and be like, "Oh, cool, we had some great linebackers in the past." You know, like, one thing that made me a Patriots fan, and I'll be completely honest, maybe you can answer this question, Paul, because, you know, you're the historian because you were there.
Whoa!
That's a shot
at you, Paul. But, you know, to be honest with you, I always remember Vincent Brown. I don't know if he was a great linebacker or whatnot, but I remember having
he had a cool
his poster.
Nickname.
What's that?
He had a cool nickname, The Undertaker, and he did a cool thing when he made a play, so people kind of remember him.
And he also had muscles bulging when most people didn't have muscles.
Talk about
Bill. He was a freak. You know, even when I was a kid, I was like, that doesn't look natural. Like,
I'm not sure it was. I'm pretty sure it wasn't, but he was a good player. He was not a great player. But
he had some
in terms of like that traditional middle linebacker and a 4-3 run-stuffing guy, he was one of those old-school physical, very short career as a result because, you know, the pounding you take in there. But he was a good player, Vincent
Yeah,
Brown.
What years did he play?
I want to say like maybe 86, 87 to maybe 93, 94. Why don't you look? There's a Patriots media guide over there.
Well, just to let you know, I'm 28. You know, I was 7-8 years old at that time, you know, and I just always remember him, you know.
He was a good player.
I loved him.
Vincent Brown was a good player. He wasn't like a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro type, but he was a good player.
He was also in an era when if you're going to latch on.
You know?
And he was bad teams,
if you're going to latch on to, well, there weren't too many players to say, this is the Patriot I like.
You know, you got Steve Nelson, you got Tippett, you got Vincent Brown.
Bonaconi.
Well,
Chris
Singleton's
terrible.
Sounds like a short DVD to me.
Terrible.
A lot of Tippett.
Come on, you guys, listen, no, you don't have to bash him. You just take the best plays, you know, the hardest hits of those great linebackers.
Ted
you can
Johnson.
Make the outside
Ted
linebacker.
Johnson
the
would be
days.
There. Teddy Bruschi has had a lot of plays over his career.
Yeah, McGinnis.
Mike
Vrabel
now.
Vrabel now, yeah.
You could put together 6 or 8 guys, you know, 10 minutes each. You get an hour video.
But
or none
like
of them except
defensive highlight video. Maybe throw in some safeties. Right, some
this DVD's changing
you know,
all the time.
But and Tippett getting less and less pub by the minute.
Well, that's why I was wondering at the start how this really benefits Andre Tippett.
Yeah, none of them, though, except Tippett, really were known for big hits, you know?
Yeah, but it's
true.
Just something that started out, and then if you guys take, like, you know, his... He must, because it seems like he's a talker, you know, Andre Tippett, you know, you guys, like, talk about him having great stories and whatnot. There has to be clips in the past, you know, those NFL film clips of him saying something on the sidelines, you know, and just get his name out there, and maybe, like, eventually it'll snowball, and then, like, throughout the nation, hopefully, you know, get him a little bit more recognition.
Well, I think you're right. They definitely have to get people talking about him, because he just doesn't get enough.
I still
love
say tips,
nationally.
Tips. Send all those writers a pound of nice, good steak tips right before they vote, and they will vote Andre Tippett. They're fat writers. The way to get to their vote is through their stomach. Look at Paul.
Oh.
Yeah. Like,
I could see the wheels turning in his
little
head.
Like, what's that?
I could see the wheels turning in his head as he was talking.
You got to hit people at their weakness. Food is the weakness of the media.
Or alcohol.
That's true, too. Don't be afraid to hit me again anytime.
That was a nice little move right there, Fred.
You make
that.
Great friends.
Spin around
great
right
friends
at the
edge. With alcohol.
No question. Alcohol opens a lot of doors in this world.
But
how long are we going here?
Well, listen, like with Lawrence Taylor, you know, I'm too young to actually remember seeing him play.
This is Andre Tippin. That's not what we're looking for.
That's true.
Yeah, a lot of people that a lot of people that watched the game at that time say that Tippett was very comparable to
right.
Lawrence Taylor. Now, I don't know if he was better. I don't know if he would have been better if he played for the Giants and with that great defense.
But that
or whatnot.
Doesn't even matter.
But a lot of people say they
this
were comparable.
This isn't Fred's Hall
right.
of Fame. You don't. It's only one per position. If he's
right.
say he's 85% of the best
yeah,
linebacker
that's,
ever,
I don't
you're
think
still
he,
a Hall of Famer.
I don't think he's better than Lawrence Taylor.
No, but he doesn't have to be.
I
don't have to be
you.
Jerry Rice to get in the Hall of Fame.
If,
there's
if,
others
if
in
Taylor's
there.
Taylor's the best. A lot of people think he's the best to ever play the position. If you
right.
were the second best during that time,
right.
don't you deserve to go into the Hall of Fame at
exactly.
the very least?
I mean, are they
exactly.
not going to put in either Manning or Brady because they weren't
right.
the best of the time? Only one of them gets in? Come on, that's stupid.
Yeah. The reason LT's there is because he played in New York, huge media market.
And he was
and
great.
What?
He was
he
the great.
And he was great.
He quite possibly could have been the greatest defensive player ever to play the game.
And
I mean,
if you ask Bill Belichick, he would probably be yes. on that. When we watch film, all he did
biased.
Was glow. About Lawrence Taylor and the way he recognized plays.
Lawrence Taylor was not overrated. I think Andre Tippett is underrated.
Right.
But I don't think Lawrence Taylor is overrated.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys.
All right, thank you, Anthony.
Thought. I've been hearing you guys, so that's my idea. I'm going to try to copyright it, so I'm expecting a little bit of proceeds.
Little kickback?
Very, very little. All right, Anthony.
Thanks,
by
Anthony.
The way, today's word of the day, courtesy of Anthony, snowball. It's snowball.
Okay.
He said snowball in his little
well,
conversation.
Well, speaking of that, Chris...
Do you have the years that he played? I'm curious.
88 to 95.
88 to 95, so I was a little early on both ends.
Chris from the Bronx says, glad to hear the mood at Gillette is somewhat like. Keeping with that, I'd like to tell you about a game Andy can play called Make Up Your Own Dirty Phrase. First, take the name of a city, the smaller the better, of someplace south of the border. Then add either an appliance or a food. Examples, a Bridgeport blender, East St. Louis can opener, or a Venezuelan pork sandwich. I have no idea what they mean, but if said in the right context, they sound filthy. When
yeah.
Eric comes in this afternoon, ask him if he's ever gotten a Foxborough flapjack. Have fun, and whatever you do, don't look up the angry dragon. It's awful.
Oh, that was going to be another. Oh, yes, you let the cat out of the bag. The angry dragon was going to be tomorrow.
Okay. Now, Paul, a lot of
yes.
emails coming in about your appearance on oh. EEI yesterday.
For once, he sacked up and actually had an argument with those guys and got berated.
I thought
ever.
That Paul, you know, handled himself very well against what I would call just complete nonsense.
Asinine argument from a condescending
Paul,
person.
I tried to listen, but they wanted me to sign up, and I don't do that kind of crap.
I mean, I don't mind.
Oh, I online. Can send you a link, Tom. You don't have to.
Oh, okay.
I don't mind someone arguing either
yeah,
side of that argument and just to fill people in. Paul was basically saying, not that the Patriots' defense is bad, but
it's
not
bad.
That, you know, it has its problems.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the guys in the big show, Steve DiAssi, you know, were, how can you say that? They're one of the best in the league. But I think the bottom line is the best in the league this year isn't that good. It's not – we don't have any great defenses in the NFL this year. And they got into it for like 4 hours.
Well, the biggest disagreement that I had was basically the performance of the from the first half to the second half Saturday night. They were claiming that it was these big adjustments made at halftime that limited Jacksonville to two field goals, and my contention was that the only thing that limited Jacksonville to two field goals was two key dropped passes for touchdowns, Dennis Northcutt and Matt Jones. And the big thing was they were claiming that Dennis Northcutt dropped the pass because he looked up and saw that Asante Samuel was coming, and that made him drop the pass, to which I said, it's still a drop. Whatever, for whatever the reason is, that's a drop pass. They did nothing to defend the play. I said, so other than having 11 defensive players actually on the field at the time that the guy dropped the pass, they did nothing to prevent the touchdown. And that can't be the way Belichick wanted it to. You know, let's see if we can get a third and 11, let the guy get open down the seam in between the hash marks around the goal line, have the ball hit him in both hands.
And yell boo.
And as long as, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like
playing up in basketball.
Exactly. Yes, it's like no playing question. Basketball and doing one of those things where you snap at the guy as he's about to shoot. Is that good defense if he misses?
Stupid.
It's stupid.
Plus, the other problem with that whole theory is Asante Samuel. Give me all his big hits in his career when he's been this big physical presence.
He's had a couple.
He's not a guy that you fear for your safety, your life.
Right. Well, and their big thing was Rodney Harrison.
I like the Jack Tatum reference.
But their big thing was Rodney Harrison. He doesn't intimidate. I'm not claiming that they didn't drop the pass because the guy was intimidated. That may have been the reason.
But that
that's not
a bad
good
player.
Defense. That's not good defense because he dropped the pass because that you weren't in position to make a play. And the big thing that he was trying to say was, you know, if Asante Samuel's not there, do you think he looks up? And I said, yes, I do think he looks up because that's what he would have. That's obviously what he did. He was waiting to get hit. He wasn't imminently going to get hit. And I tried to compare it to Wes Welker's play where they had to get forced to kick a field goal. I said, what's the difference between that? It was a drop. I said, and I'm not killing Welker. The guy caught 115 passes.
Right.
You know, I mean, the guy's been great. He dropped one. I can't even remember really another. I mean, maybe you could count his drops on one hand this year, Wes Welker.
First game.
Right?
Was actually his worst game. I think he had two hit off his hands that were bad.
He hasn't dropped many passes all year. What's the and they were trying to claim that he was looking upfield to see he was starting to run before he caught it. I said, well, what's the difference between that and looking to see who's coming to hit you?
It was the worst argument I've ever heard in my entire life.
And I knew it was going to get blown out of proportion. Like, now that I'm saying the Patriots' defense is terrible, it's not terrible.
But you got them to admit every time you brought up a defense, they're probably better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
they're
better.
They asked me to come up with 10 defenses that were better, and I really only could come up with 6.
But every time they said, yeah,
and every
better.
One of them, they conceded to me.
Well, then the Patriots' defense just really isn't that good.
Well, see, now... I don't think that's true either. But
no, it's a good defense.
You're admitting,
Fred,
there's no good defenses in the league, and then you're admitting that they're at best the seventh best in a bad league of defense.
Right.
That means they're not that good.
It's still not that. It's still.
I'm not
good.
Saying it's like
I
this anchor that's dragging
and
the team down.
Right.
Paul
exactly.
They're fine too.
I think they're fine, and I think they're especially fine because of the offense.
I think they're fine as long as Brady scores 30.
Exactly.
If Brady doesn't score 30, you might not think they're so fine.
And you backed me up on this morning too. My fear was that some freak of nature happens, and for one, it hasn't happened 17 straight weeks. But what happens if the offense doesn't go out and do what it's done every game? Just once. I don't know.
You lose.
Like the Colts on Sunday, two passes go off a guy's hands and get picked off. And instead of scoring 30 like you do every week, you score 17. Do you have confidence that this defense can make 17 stand up? I'm not sure I do. That was the only point I was trying to make. I don't think it's a bad defense. I just don't think it's as good as everybody else seems to think it is. That's all.
Todd from Nova Scotia, I was listening to Paul on EEI yesterday. Man, was that sad. In the first 20 minutes, he lost two arguments to Diassi. Diassi debated Paul into saying Pete Shepard was the sports journalist equivalent to Edward R. Murrow and that the Pats D played well in the second half. It's like watching Drew Bledsoe at the end and not being able to avoid the hit. Just retire, Drew. This is sad. And the same goes for Paul.
Just retire,
I guess
Paul.
Years of losing debates to Fred has finally taken its toll. Wow, that's the worst shot of all.
Wow.
Well, now I know he was only kidding.
Paul, I heard you. This is from Kevin in Georgia. I heard your argument on EEI yesterday. I got to say, I agree with you that the defense has not been great lately. I hope that they rise to the occasion this weekend, though. Apparently on EEI, if you yell the loudest, as in Steve, you win the argument. I think those guys can't see it objectively enough because they are so close to the coach with their weekly interviews.
Yes.
The bottom line for this weekend is they need to make a couple of stops so that the Chargers get more than one score behind. And as far as Mercury Morris, just let him know to get his popcorn ready.
That's right. We do need to plug that. We got.
I was going
to
say
he's
Fred.
No Craig.
Yeah, when we had Craig, we built it up for a week. We have Mercury Morris before
coming
we
on
left.
In 2 minutes.
You just said.
I thought he was in the second half.
No, they came back and said first hour when the guy who actually booked the interview, Dan,
okay.
updated us.
All right.
What time was he coming on, Gary?
2 minutes.
12:30.
What do I need to plug for him? Anything?
They went undefeated in 1972.
No, but like, is he working for anyone right now, or what is he doing?
I think we should call him Eugene.
Good show
his
prep.
His name is Eugene?
Okay.
Yes. Good show prep.
Fred just realized he was going to be on.
I'll have a chicken parm, by the way. Large chicken parm sub.
You're going to order
I'm waiting. It's you guys.
I ZD and meatballs, please.
What the?
What's wrong with that?
What's
That's
the?
Cheap. That's cheap.
They got a good meatball over there, Fred says.
Let's see.
Could be ball.
Kat writes in with a little X. She says, love.
Nice.
She wants to know if Andy is mad. She says, I just got done listening to yesterday's podcast, and I have to ask, is Andy mad?
As
or did
crazy?
Andy insult a member of the British SAS yesterday? Does he know who they are? If I'm not sure, strippers or Lucky could fill him in. My football-related question is, during Tom Brady's press conference, they asked him a question about Ben Watson. During his answer, he talked about all the tight ends, including Wes Welker, in his answer. Do you think he was just referring to the time we had the injuries to Ben and Kyle, or do you think they intend to use Wes as a tight end more often?
No, he was more referencing inside receivers, slot guys, tight end, people who can take advantage of having Moss and Stallworth and those guys on the outside. So it's sort of he kind of left the tight end question and just moved to inside receivers taking advantage of the middle of the field.
Okay.
It's a good question, though. I think
we got some Andre Tippett emails coming in. James from Roanoke. Andre Tippett was on Sirius moving the chains this morning. They were hyping the fact that he was one of the best of his era. One of the hosts said he played against him when he was on the Jets and that he was virtually unblockable. They said that he deserved to get into the Hall of Fame, and being Andre, he said all of those on the finalist list were equally deserving.
He does always say the right. Tippett says the right thing.
Here's the thing I would say. When I was growing up, I could care less about the Patriots. I didn't care about them. You know,
no one did.
I rooted for the Cowboys. And
I didn't
watched
even
the,
care
and
about
I watched
them
the
a
Giants.
Lot of that time.
But when Andre Tippett started playing and I started seeing his highlights, I used to wait to see the Patriot highlights just to see him. I mean, he was that entire team. And I just loved him. And this is someone who, well, you know, I wasn't associated with the Patriots in any way, but you just waited to see what he was going to do. And now you look back at all the things that he did do and his numbers. I mean, the guy deserves to be in there. We don't say that just because we work here. I believe that before I ever stepped foot into this building.
I agree.
And Anthony brought up the – I'm not sure there'd be a lot of audio of him because I don't remember him being a talker. I remember the whole image they portrayed was he was like this quiet – and he'd stand over Ken O'Brien after he sacked him and just sort of look at him. So I don't think you'd find a lot of him talking and a lot of audio to add to the highlights.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back,
No.
But Gary says no, don't take a break.
No, he's on. We have a guest on the line.
Well, usually you take a break so they can prep, they can get ready. No,
Mercury Morris is ready. Trust
me. Hey, you know what? On the phone right now is Mercury Morris. Mercury, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
Hey,
good.
First of all, thank you for taking the time to come on our show
and putting up with our amateurish hosts.
Right. Sorry about that.
That's all right. You know, I'm watching the Weather Channel, and as far you know, it's 79 right here, and the sun is shining, and I realized that up there they were showing the parts of what the game was going to be like. The guy says, do you wish you were playing now? I wouldn't want to be playing now if I was on either team. It's so cold up there.
No kidding. Hey, you know, Mercury, here's a question I wanted to ask you right off the top. When you guys played, you finished the regular season undefeated, 14-0, and then you go into the playoffs. Did that add any pressure to those playoff games than there already was?
Nah, you know why? Because throughout the whole thing, and this is, I think, that was our advantage, and it's not an advantage for the Patriots now, but they can make it an advantage. We were not favored, see. You have to understand that we finished the season unbeaten, and we were the third team, I believe, to finish the regular season unbeaten, the 34 Bears, then the 42 Bears, and then us. Unfortunately, those two went down in flames in the championship. But we didn't have any pressure because we were still concerned about what happened the year before when we lost in Super Bowl VI. And by the way, I returned out of the two out of the three kickoffs I returned against New England, one in 1970 and the other in 1971. But in the 71 season, we played up in New England, and we lost. We got beat by the Patriots up there our Super Bowl year in 1971. But the point is that there was no pressure on us because this had never been done before. So nobody had any expectations about someone going unbeaten or undefeated. So you had that human nature effect where people thought, this is not going to happen. It'll never happen again. So we go through the season, number one in offense. When the season ended, the regular season, we were number one in offense, number one in defense, number one in special teams, fewest giveaways, most takeaways, least penalized. We scored the most points. We gave up the least. We had a three-back offense. We ran 7 out of every 10 times. 2,000-yard rushers, the first in history. We broke the NFL team rushing record for that single season, finishing 40 yards short of 3,000 yards rushing in a 14-game season. We lost our starting quarterback for 11 weeks, and we played 16 straight games, and we played the AFC Championship on the road. And then after all of that, we were underdogs in the Super Bowl. And the irony is that the Washington Redskins were favored by 3 points. The three teams they lost to in 1972, the Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, and the New England Patriots. So we did not have any pressure as far as we were concerned. It was all self-implemented because we knew that when we came back that year after 71, Shula made us watch that game where we got our butts handed to us by the Cowboys, and he said, now, you see how sick and sorry you feel now? Well, just think of how sick and sorry you're going to be if you don't go back and redeem yourselves for what you did the year before. So I say all that to say that we had our report cards from the year before in our back pocket. So it wasn't about the forwardness of what we were about to accomplish. It was about getting that F off of our report card from the year before. That's why there was no pressure on us. And ironically, because nobody believed that we would do it. Imagine now that the Patriots, as successful as they've been, and the only other team has been that successful has been us in the last 1,290 tries and 35 years.
No, so, but you've been counting.
Of course. They've done a great thing, man. And as quiet as it's kept, you know, I talk a lot of smack in the beginning of this, but as it gets closer to the reality of who these guys are, they're playing the type of football that only comes around once every 35 years.
So, Mercury, obviously you're talking to a very much Patriots audience right now. When you watch them, and, for example, last week against the Jaguars, what's your emotional state? Are you openly and excitedly rooting against them? You see Tom Brady get sacked on the first play of the game.
You know why? Nope, because I don't want what happens to the Patriots to have affected me. Nothing that the Patriots do at this point is going to change anything that we did. This is a fraternity, and we're the founding chapter of this fraternity. We've had no members because the criteria is you got to go unbeaten throughout the season. So these guys represent the first time in 35 years that someone has risen to the capability to be able to do this. And this is modern day football now. When I played, I came into the league in 69 with the AFL, and the teammates that I had back then, Bill Stanfill, Jake Scott, a lot of other guys who went to Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, LSU. Well, back then in 65 through 69, the year I came out, there were no blacks that played at those schools. So the game back then reflected society. Now the game reflects the necessity of the importance of competition from the high school to college to pros.
Hey, Mercury, let me ask you a question. Now, obviously, it's hard to compare teams from different eras and all that because of size and speed. But just with personnel and game planning and coaching, tell me why you think your Dolphins would beat this Patriots team.
Well, in the first place, I don't really do that because I can't compare what would happen then because that's made up. There's no way that we can play them. There's no way that we can match up with who they are.
Do you think you're better than them? Do you think that your Dolphins team is better than this Patriots team?
I can't say that because, number one, we'll never have a chance to play. See, anybody can talk a good game in the locker room. But when you put your cleats on, you get your ankles taped, you put your pads in your pants, and you get your butt out there on the field, then we see what your game looks like. The only way this could happen is through Madden country. So the reality is that you got to look at what the Patriots did with the people that are around them now. How did they fare across the league? the league average of what the Patriots' success was, and then what the Patriots' success is versus what the league averages are now. That's where we did in our comparison, and that's how we're really different than you guys. We ran 7 out of every 10 times. When it was 3rd and 5, we run. 3rd and 6, we run. Now, 3rd and 3, certain instances now, the league itself thinks that the pass is maybe the best way to go. So it's indicative of the changes in the game. We didn't have the kind of exciting big-time receivers and this stable of people that have come out to strictly to play professional football. Our guys came out, if you walked into a game back in the early 70s, the fans didn't look too much different than the players. So when you have this participator-spectator concept where we walked in the Orange Bowl, there were no suites there where you could go up on the mezzanine and get steak tartare while you're entertaining people. It was just to go and watch the match because it was us against them. Now it's a different circumstance, and people are being bombarded with entertainment. And in the midst of that, the Patriots have come out almost like we did back then, where they've excelled out of their ability to do that because they're talented and because they have a great coach. We have a great coach, which it showed up in what we did. If we were number one in everything, and that means everything team-wise, and we accomplished everything that you could have possibly accomplished, including winning the Super Bowl, in our era, we clearly are the number one team simply because of the statistics that you put up. If you're number one in offense, number one in defense, number one in special teams, fewest giveaways, most takeaways, least penalized, hey, then why would you not be at the top? My thing is that the Patriots have a different type of game, but they're clearly at the top of their game and at the top of this league. I've never seen anything like it, obviously, because the last time it was like this is 1972.
Well, Mercury, we really appreciate you coming on. I was talking to a couple of the Patriots, and they said they were driving around your neighborhood, and they're really thinking about moving in. They got a nice plot of land picked out, and they're going to build a huge mansion.
Hey, and you tell them, you know what? I'm going to have my Mr. Rogers sweater on saying, with my cookies that I've been baked since 1973, saying, I had them in the freezer, but they're still good.
All right, Mercury Morris, thank you so much for taking the
man.
Time.
All right, man.
Great stuff.
All right. That's Mercury Morris. Now we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots.
helmets. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Miami has a Dolphin.
I'm going to have my Mr. Rogers sweater on saying, with my cookies that I've been baked since 1973, saying, I had them in the freezer, but they're still good.
All right, Mercury Morris. Patrick in Ontario says, damn it, guys, I really wanted Mercury to be insane, not a guy who likes to talk about the good old days and who was justifiably proud of his accomplishments. Props for you guys for not lobbing him softball questions, except you, Fred. And props to Mini Gary for tracking him down and convincing him to come on a Pro Patriot show.
I just think we should set it up with Paul Perillo, Mercury Morris, and Doug Flutie. Start the clock and see who can talk longer.
Why are you laughing?
Kim from Plymouth, Mass. Is saying that the NFLshops.com, you can pre-order your Patriots AFC gear today, but you can't pre-order your Chargers gear.
That doesn't sound accurate.
Doesn't sound accurate, but that's what she's saying, and she thinks that they're trying to jinx the game.
So those are the kinds of things that actually do impact the outcome.
They do. You know, you're not kidding.
My favorite part about all that is that you can go to Africa somewhere, and there's people that wear hats that say, like, Rams, Super Bowl 36 champions. They ship those to Africa, I've heard. I think Flanders told me that.
Okay.
It's just they made a mistake.
I had a Dolphins championship sweatshirt when they lost to the 49ers.
I think that's so funny.
Yes, Gary.
On the homepage of NFLshop.com, it says pre-order your AFC championship gear with a picture of both jerseys.
With both. Okay.
But Patriots fans, like Rodney Harrison, see and hear what they want to.
More Paul emails. Chris writes in, Paul is dead on. Remember the Jets game when the weather played a factor? We scored one offensive TD. If the O does stumble this week or next, we could be in trouble. The facts are the facts. Our defense has trouble getting off the field. I can't remember a recent Pats D where we never get to see the opponent's punter. Face it, our D is not that good. I don't buy this situational D crap. It's just an excuse for getting pushed around and praying for a mistake.
Well said.
And let's see, more Paul email.
Well, let me ask you a quick question.
Can we move past the Paul emails?
What are you going to do next year when the offense isn't as good?
Lose.
Well, why do you say that?
Because it won't be.
Maroney's going to have all the confidence.
Yeah, I don't.
You think they're going to put up
50?
That
was the best offense in league history.
Oh, they may not do what they did this year, but
I agree with Fred. I mean, they might not score 38 points a game, but there's no reason to think they're going
to
go like below 25.
They're going to have the same offensive line.
Let me explain to you what's going to happen, Fred. This offseason, every single team in NFL is going to be breaking down Patriots film, because they are the team that nobody can beat. They are the offense that is running.
But so the Patriots aren't going to sit still either. Right. They're going to do things.
If you guys think they're going to have as good offense next year, I think you're nuts.
But I just said, I don't think they're going to score 38 points a game, but there's no reason to think they're going to go below 25.
Right, but their defense isn't any good.
But they can hold teams to less than 25 points.
Every week?
So yeah, they allow 17.
So the Cowboys are going to fall apart. The Patriots are going to fall apart. Anybody going to be good next year?
I mean, unless they lose a ton of players. I mean, that I'm just saying, departures.
Until Brady and Belichick leaves, I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, so how many touchdown passes did Manning throw the year after?
How did their offense do the year after?
Their offense
it
never
wasn't
stumbled.
As good.
Sure it was.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
Many points.
In 2005, they weren't as good as they were in 2004. They were the preeminent number one seed. They choked in the playoffs.
Wasn't that the year they went to Kansas City and scored? No, that was the year before.
No, that was 03. But in 04, he threw all the touchdown passes. But in 05, they were the number one seed, and they choked in the playoffs. That was the year they were 13-0.
I just don't think you can go in, year out, hoping your team scores 35 points a game if you guys are saying their defense isn't good enough to win games anymore.
I don't think their defense is good enough to win games that the offense doesn't score any points.
Just like you don't think the offense is going to be as good
maybe the defense gets better. Who
right.
knows what they bring
in?
In '01,
see, I actually think their defense could get significantly
worse.
We
had no idea last year that the offense was going to be so good this year.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen.
But wait a minute. That's not entirely true. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be record, you know, that Brady was going to throw 50 touchdowns or they were going to break all these records. But I think we all felt the additions of Welker, Stallworth, and Moss.
Once they got Moss.
Right, but before
right.
that,
yeah,
we
before
didn't
that,
know.
Before that, you didn't know.
Well, it wouldn't have happened before Moss.
Well, if we were talking about.
Well, my point is, you didn't know that they were going to have all those players.
If this was the week before the
I'm
AFC
sorry.
Championship
okay.
last year, and we were
okay.
talking about next year, we don't know.
No, okay, yeah, no, I thought
and
you
defensively,
meant.
Defensively, the cupboard could be nearly as bare. I mean,
see,
the back end of the defense
I think
could
they
be
have a chance.
In trouble.
For Tom's fear, I think, with the offense coming down a little bit, is, I think, coinciding with the defense being a lot worse than it is right now.
But I think when
if they lose a lot of guys, you know, to
but according to Adam Schefter, they're going to win two Super Bowls in the next 5 years.
I think when you have good management, like the Patriots have proven that they do, the stuff that us laymen see as a potential problem, you got to think that they see it too. And they're going to do what they can. It may not work out, like with the Deion Branch, but they're going to do what they think they have to do to avoid having a worse defense than they had this year.
No, but, right, but I know they'll try,
changed,
but it may not work.
It may
the
not
fact
work.
That it's change opens up the possibility that it's Monty Beisel and Chad Brown and not Randy Moss and
it
Wes
could
Welker.
Be. Right. I mean, Dante Stallworth could have been a dud. He could have been, you know, not
Monty
a good pick.
But according to Paul, the defense doesn't have to get better because they're only giving up 17 points a game.
No, they have
they
to
don't
get
have
better
to get
because
better.
Brucey is going to be a year
so
older.
So then what's the problem
Sayout's
with the defense?
Going to be a year older. They have to replace some of these guys.
Right.
They're only giving up 17 points a game.
Right now, what's the problem with the defense?
Yeah.
Nothing because they score 38 points
a
game.
And right now.
They only give up 17.
And one of the reasons why is because the competition's not that good, too.
They only give up 17 points a game, in my opinion, because they score 38 a game.
Right. They make the other team one-dimensional.
That's just my opinion. I mean, statistically, my argument is all wet. They're fourth in the league in points allowed. They're fourth in the league in yards allowed. All the numbers would indicate they have a great defense. I just don't think they do. Statistically, I'm wrong.
Peter in Medway says, is Paul okay? I'm a bit worried about him after hearing him get attacked by Pink Steve and the Fat O for a few hours straight yesterday. Actually, I have to admit that I did shut it off a few times because it was just too painful. But when I was listening, I learned that the only reason opposing teams' players drop easy passes are because they are deathly afraid of the Pats' lethal, hard-hitting cornerbacks. Northcutt only dropped that ball because he was looking at Asante, who was horribly out of position, like what, half a field away, and bracing for the hit that was coming. Paul neglected to bring up that Asante is like 5'8 and a buck 50 soaking wet and has made only two actual hard hits all season. Let's face it, he's a ball hawk and not a hitter. But it's understandable considering how he was facing the shouting onslaught of those three pom-poms. Thank the maker that Smurlus wasn't there. By the end of it all, I found myself wishing that Northcutt did catch the damn ball. Oh, and Fred, could you sign off on a few trips to a tanning booth for Paul if he expenses them? The naked cameras were having a lot of trouble balancing his ghost-like pasty whiteness during this week's show. Oh, for crying out loud.
Crying out loud.
Now, last thing, Tom. You were saying that you expected that Lomo was going to have more games like he has in the last month because all other teams were going to set up their entire D to stop the pass. I have no real argument, but as a matter of trivia, there is one team that admittedly came out with a game plan to take away the Pats' run game first and foremost. Which team
the
was
Cowboys.
It?
The
Cowboys.
Okay. So they said they did anyway.
And their coach is the guy that everybody makes fun of.
Well, right. if you saw the way they played pass defense, it's hard to argue with that he was lying.
And they're paying coordinators more than the head coach to stay.
And we all kind of made fun of people for saying that he said that, and then he reiterated it after the game, saying he'd do the same thing again. So evidently he just didn't see what everybody else saw and that Tom Brady was killing everybody all year.
Rob in Arlington, Virginia, with all the talk about trying to get Tippett into the Hall of Fame, do you think Stanley Morgan also deserves consideration? Well, you know, it's interesting.
I think from a numbers standpoint, yes, but I don't really think he's
when
Hall
we
of
did
Fame.
Our induction for the Patriots Hall of Fame, Borges came up and talked on Morgan's behalf and actually made the case for the NFL
the
Hall of Fame
Hall of
based
Fame.
On numbers.
His numbers, I think there was 11 wide receivers that are in the Hall of Fame that Stanley Morgan's numbers are significantly better than.
Yeah,
it's not close. I'm talking like he has 100 more catches for like 400 more yards and, 15 more touchdowns. Fred Biletnikoff. It's not just, everybody brings up Lynn Swann, who obviously is in the Hall of Fame for what he did on the biggest stage with the remarkable Super Bowl touchdown catches that he made. But it's not just Swann and Stallworth. There's a lot of Paul Warfield,
Fred Biletnikoff, and Morgan didn't play in an era that was different than those guys. He's contemporaries with those guys. So it's not like you can say, well, he had a lot of inflated numbers because they threw the ball a lot more. They didn't.
Right.
Stanley Morgan played on teams that ran the ball more than anybody.
3,000 yards.
And I think that's one of the more fairer ways of judging these guys. It's among the era that they played.
Right.
Were they dominant? And then you get back to Tippett, 100 sacks.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
Which is more – now 100 sacks is not that impressive. The numbers have – there's a lot of career sack guys with whatever. Bruce Smith's up at 100 and maybe over 200.
Bruce Smith is.
No, I know, but there's a lot of guys. If you look at the sacks list, Andre Tippett probably doesn't even show up in the top 50.
There's probably some guys that you think aren't even very good players that have 100 sacks.
Kevin Green has 100 sacks. And back then, 100 sacks was – there weren't too many guys with 100 sacks.
Mm-hmm. Adam says he's from China. He's a new emailer and listener. I'm a Vietnamese-American national working in Shanghai and listening to PFW in the morning here. I like your show, but I haven't listened long enough to make good cracks at you individually. That will come in due time.
And so will ours at you.
However, I was checking out Urban Dictionary and surprised at all the ridiculous erotic things associated or begins with Chinese. Please check out Chinese Lunchbox and get a good laugh.
Gary, you want to print that up for me?
Andy has to do is hear the name and he laughs.
Because your mind starts racing as to what a Chinese lunchbox could be.
What is this Tennessee tight end thing, Gary, that you wrote out for me and Tom?
It's the guy that – who Samuel
It's not
hit.
The Samuel. The one big hit he's ever had was on some tight end from Tennessee.
Oh.
Was
like
it
3 years ago.
I actually remember some hits. He had a huge hit in Denver. Yeah. On that Poutier. Remember that Poutier guy?
Yeah, yeah. His career
killed
has not
him.
Been built on
But he's
hits.
Not necessarily a physical guy. But I didn't even care. It doesn't matter who it was. It could have been Jack Tatum. I don't care.
Yeah, I'd be looking for Jack Tatum.
Of course you're looking, but you got to catch the ball.
I'd be more worried about
Your
Jack
job
Tatum.
Is to catch the ball. You're going to get hit anyway.
Well, I think when you're talking about a guy like Jack Tatum or the other guy from the Raiders, you know,
well,
now
they're trying to hurt
I mean, they did have a reputation back there, and that did play into other teams' failures. You know, when catching the ball, but
see, I miss that.
Come on, you know,
they've taken all that out of the NFL.
Yep,
I like guys who wanted to hurt other guys. It's part of the game.
We may have a winner, Andy.
Jordan in Montreal. I think the girl who won the punt, pass, and kick competition would have gotten booed in most stadiums of a rival club. I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm sure it would have happened in most NFL stadiums, including New England.
It is right. Everybody hates the Patriots or the opponent. I got no problem with
that. Yeah, but we're still going to have fun with it.
I'm still wondering how she won. I saw her on the news throw a football. She couldn't throw it 5 feet.
Christian is saying lunch on him tomorrow.
Ah, sure. Fred.
Oh, come on.
This punt, pass, and kick thing, what is it exactly?
Well, yeah. What do you mean, what is it? What is punt, pass, and kick?
Like, who gets to go out for it?
Paul's father runs it in the world. He's in charge of all of it.
In the world.
So it's like
the
Pee Wee football leagues?
In New England.
In New England.
Like the Pee Wee football leagues or whatever
they
call
it. The Pop Warner. It's run through the Pop Warner, but it's
you don't have to be a Pop Warner.
I don't think you have to be
You don't have to be in Pop Warner.
You
got to
be a kid.
You go and compete in it.
It's sponsored by Gatorade or whatever.
And they start on a regional level and compete and then
they hold
whittle it down.
Tryouts all over the country and then they build to a national final. And it's what it is. You punt, you pass and kick. And is it a combined score?
I don't really know how it works, to be honest.
Yeah,
you
sounds,
how it works. Everything you just said.
Is there somebody from every part of the country, or is it?
Well, they do it in NFL cities, so you can come around an NFL city.
Yeah, but I do think that
you won it when you were a kid.
I
right?
never participated.
You never participated? Your father didn't make you do it?
No.
People don't know it. Paul's father is really in charge of Pop Warner, right?
He's the New England regional director for Pop Warner.
That's
football.
Big. That's a lot of. Doesn't he also go into New York and that area?
No.
A little bit? No.
No. That's
New England.
That's a different district. It's
a
New England.
Different district. But that's a big...
It's basically Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire.
And he's been the head of it for how
in
long?
In Connecticut, I'm sorry.
Maine?
Is not. I don't think there are any teams in Maine, or there aren't many. And if they are, they might be under the New Hampshire jurisdiction. And I don't think there are many in Vermont either. He's been the New England regional director for probably about 10 years. But he's been involved in Pop Warner for 40.
40 years. Wow. It's a thankless job.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he does it.
He just enjoys helping the kids.
Wow. Once my kid
Fred against like
my,
charity and helping
once my
kids.
Kid was out of the program,
I'd be
youth
out service. I mean, you know, I don't know why he does it.
I just write him a check.
Is that really the message you should be sending?
And my mother is the Eastern Mass director of cheerleaders.
Is she really?
Yes.
Ooh, don't let the mothers know that.
They're crazy. Those cheerleading mothers.
I'll tell you something. My mother can handle herself. She doesn't need to worry about those.
Really?
Those crazy people. She gets all kinds of emails and stuff.
Okay.
You want to talk about far and away disputes, arguments, or whatever, conspiracy theory? Cheerleading is
Yeah.
A bloodbath.
They have that. Those murders in Texas a few years ago.
Well, yeah. Not that
you,
kind of
You
stuff.
Said bloodbath.
But that
he
was
did join Dick for a little
that
while.
Had nothing to do with Pop Warner football. That was a high school.
Fred knows he runs the cheerleaders here.
And, hey, I'm not trying to be no disrespect to the cheerleaders, but aren't they just a bunch of nobodies? Like you don't grow up and be a cheerleader.
Wow! Don't talk to Lori.
she did it for what? 3 years? Then you can't do it anymore.
And her life has sort of gone downhill since.
Well, that's her fault.
She peaked at 21.
But you know
22.
What I mean? Like, well, I'm just saying what I'm taking what Paul's saying about it being like this big bloodbath to be a cheerleader. But where are you going though?
Thanks, Lori.
Exactly.
I'm not talking about to be a cheerleader. I'm talking about the competitions. Like every time someone loses, there was like the judge screwed them, and there was some sort of misinterpretation of the rules.
We do the junior cheerleading program every year. They come for two practices, and then they perform before one of the preseason games. You wouldn't believe some of these mothers. You know, little Jane needs to have an umbrella over her while she's out in the sun. You know, all kinds of
stuff.
Well,
there's a ton of rules that you would believe me, I've had these arguments with my mother enough. I mean, I think it's ridiculous, but you know, it's important.
Well, we
people.
Saw it at the combine. Oh, with all those girls look like they
of them.
8-year-old girls with looked makeup like, all
yeah.
over.
My
them
niece and, actually just got back from Florida. Her team was in. It wasn't a Pop Warner affiliated competition, but it was a national competition. They won the national championship.
Well, you heard the story about that Texas cheerleader mother that killed somebody.
I swear to God, you don't listen to us. Andy
just said that.
Well, that,
I'm waiting for the day where you explode.
I mean,
on some
that
mother.
That story isn't that far away from being repeated all over the country.
Oh, I agree.
You know.
But the worst part is the makeup. I don't even care about the cheerleaders.
It's frightening.
If a girl wants
to
do that as
no
a sport,
end.
But they all look like, and I don't mean to be offensive, like
horse. No, it bothers me.
Oh, now.
They do, Fred.
Fred,
we
you
go to the combine.
What,
they all look the same.
Oh, the little girls.
With too much makeup on.
It's awful.
It's sort of like that beauty pageant thing. They all look like.
The beauty pageant was even worse.
It's freakish.
Yeah.
The beauty pageant was even worse because they all tried to make them, you know, these 8-year-old girls look like they were 28.
I can't even watch it.
It's disgusting.
But it really bothers me. You know, my niece is involved in it, and I bite my tongue.
I think it is a form of child abuse.
It is.
I really do.
See, I think the pageants are different than the cheerleading in terms of the abuse.
The pageants
but it seems like it's crossing over.
I wholeheartedly agree with Tom's characterization, however. I think it's child abuse because I'm sorry. I don't know any 6-year-old girls that want to dress up like they're 25 and be in a beauty pageant. Right. I don't know anybody that makes that decision on their own. Cheerleading, I don't really get it, but my sister did it when she was growing up. My niece, they like it.
A lot of people like to do that.
And my wife's nieces, you know, on the other side of my family, they both enjoyed it too. And they play a lot of different sports and stuff. Beauty pageants, to me, I don't know a 6-year-old girl that makes that decision.
It's sick.
I think it is sick.
These mothers.
I think Tom's characterization is dead on. It's child abuse.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to share a quick, Paul brought up the whole argument and the Dennis Northcutt drop. Yesterday on Felger, he had Jeremy Green on, and Jeremy Green went off on a very funny rant about Northcutt. He goes, this is the second time he screwed me, because obviously Jeremy Green looks bad because of the prediction, and he very much says they lost pretty much because Northcutt dropped that ball. And apparently when he was the director of pro personnel for Cleveland, Northcutt dropped a ball in the playoffs. Now, Tom, you might be able to
against
fill
the Steelers?
It.
Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
And he goes, and if he catches that ball, we're in victory formation running out the victory. And he goes, and I'm getting an extra $7,000 bonus. So that loser's cost me twice. He went off on this
very much in his hands.
A rant.
The game was actually on NFL Network a couple months ago. I watched it over again.
Well, yeah, but what he didn't know was that the Steelers actually had defensive backs on the field.
That's true.
And that caused the drop.
Michael in Montreal, you guys are big up here in Canada because the coverage of the NFL is garbage. I was reading the local paper the other day when they announced the Rookie of the Year, and of course the corresponding picture was of Chicago Bears' Adrian Peterson. Worse was that the article specified he was a Viking, and in the picture it was Peterson getting tackled by a Packer. So thank God for you guys. I was just hoping you guys could say a couple words on Dimitroff and whether his leaving will be a massive hole to the scouting department. Also, kudos on not wasting too much time on the Moss issue. It's not the story the media wants it to be, whether you believe him or not. But Dimitroff is not something we've really talked about. Thomas Dimitroff went over to the Falcons to be their GM. Pretty much, I guess, the deal happened on Saturday over the weekend. He was in charge of the college scouting.
Director of college scouting.
Director of college scouting. Been with the team for,
I think about 10 years, right?
Six.
6 years. Wow. Yeah. So much. Yeah. What do you think? Does that create a hole? It's hard.
I think he was highly regarded. I'm not sure what kind of a hole it leaves behind him. I'm sure the Patriots have people that they feel are, you know, like Andy always says, you keep your mouth shut here and work hard and we promote within.
Right.
Someone that we don't really know right now is going to be the director of college scouting next year, my guess. You know, that's already in that department. Just
Tom Casale.
Who knows? It could be. Could be.
Nah, I don't think he fits in on any level.
Too much of this. Too much yapping.
Should we play that clip?
But I had to think.
There's no way that he's the
beginning of the end for Thomas Dimitroff in New England was the fact that he actually spoke to PFW.
Right.
For a pre-draft
but
piece.
It's the same thing. It's like, you know, when Charlie Weiss left, did that leave a big hole? Well, I guess in theory, but until they filled it with Josh McDaniels and he led the offense.
Did Belichick leave?
Right.
That's my point. Call me when Belichick leaves.
There's some guy we don't know, Bob Quinn, or there's a host of names in that department.
Jason Light
will get promoted, and he will oversee the college scouting, and they'll be fine.
And then when it's time to draft, Bill will say, I want this guy.
I think
that's how I feel about the whole thing, and that's why I agree with Tom about that, because I think those guys go out and get the guys that Bill says to go out
get
and look
get the information.
At,
but that's the key is you have to have a good manager. That he has to do a good job managing the area scouts. It's more of a people job necessarily than
Fred's
even a football
job.
Fred's
now under the desk.
Yeah, he's
no. I agree
Andy
with you, but Bill's got an idea.
Looking for a Chinese lunchbox.
Hey, get your hand off that.
Where in the hell is he?
He's under the desk on his hands and knees.
Yeah, you're not on the microphone.
Speaking of hands,
he's looking for a Chinese lunchbox.
Just the Dimitroff thing, like, when you look at his, he looks so young, and he's now running that. I don't want to, like, make fun of him, but.
He's not as young as he looks, though.
No, I know, but he's the guy who's going to hire a coach that's going to turn around a franchise that's been just mired in scandal and misery for a couple years now. It's so
tough job.
And I'm not saying he can't, but. You're kind of doubting it.
But I will say, I do like when teams take from the best.
No question.
You know what I mean? Like the Patriots right now are the best in sports. So why not grab a guy who's here, who's been around Belichick, around the system? Give a guy like that a chance. Sometimes you see him like they'll get a guy from like Arizona or something.
Right.
Like what gives that guy qualifications to run a franchise?
And think outside the box a little. Not only are you going to the best team, but saying like, why are they the best? You're trying to think what about this structure it has had them? And we know it's obviously Belichick, but we can't have him. So how can we get someone around him that's responsible for their success? Yeah. Maybe their personnel department is doing exactly what Belichick wants. Now, maybe it's a big swing and miss.
I mean, look back at the most recent draft. They got a player out of it.
The thing about
but you know what my point being.
Kidding.
The thing about the Falcons situation is I guess they were looking at Heckert from Philadelphia. But he wanted more control. You got to remember, Rich McKay is still there.
That's what
He's
I was going to say.
He's the president of the team. And so it's still going to be more of a less a collaborative thing.
And Arthur Blank still has a guy in McKay to say, this new guy is sort of falling on his face. And, you know, there's sort of a parachute, an escape clause there.
Speaking of new guys falling on their face, Eric.
Eric, why don't you
well
why don't you get your practice thing while I need to answer some phone calls.
You're 3 feet from the mic.
In case you were wondering, Fred was just talking.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to tell people you're leaving the mic when you've already left the mic.
Do you want to take that, Fred?
All right, so what do we got out of practice?
So back outside again in the stadium. Two guys missing. Matt Light was among them. And a little curious about that because he was scheduled to be one of the guys that went to the podium today and didn't show up for that either. So
he walked to the locker room.
Yeah, I saw him in the locker room.
Yeah, he made one of the quick cameo, but he didn't fulfill either.
He's watching extra film on Merriman.
Maybe. We'll go with that. We'll see what participation report says later. Mel Mitchell III was the other one. No surprise he wasn't there yesterday. I know some of you may be curious about how Randy Moss is doing, how he's treating this whole saga that's surrounding him. He seemed to be in very good spirits today. He was out there during stretch lines, standing up as he normally does, but actively engaging with somebody. It looked like Brady or somebody else, and they were joking around very loudly for everyone to see and hear. And even during the wide receiver quarterback lines when they were tossing passes back and forth,
So it was staged.
well, okay, if you want to take that approach.
That seems to be the appearance. You just told me that it was very loudly for everybody to hear and obvious and sounds a little bit like Randy Moss has a locker next to Tom Brady in the New England locker room.
All I'm saying is
it's all orchestrated.
He looked like he was in good spirits.
Strings are being pulled.
That's how it appeared. So
you got anything else?
I
was just going to ask a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to get the fans' opinion on this because we had noticed it, and I know some other people noticed it. Moss said that he went to Coach Belichick and told him, you know, what had happened. And it sounded to me like Moss was, like, reaching out looking for advice. And Bill's advice was, Fred, I was wondering what you think about this. Bill's advice was, just focus on football right now. So, like,
Moss, when he went to go see
Bill. You know what, though? It's good advice.
No, but
because if anyone knows about stuff off the field, that it's him. So it's good advice.
I just thought it was funny. You know, it seemed like he was you know, like, hey, Bill, I need advice. And Bill, obviously, just focus on football.
Well, you know, it's something that, you know, we talked about some of the complications of some of these guys' lives yesterday. Like, you know, you think that it's just all football. They got a lot of stuff going on. Even a guy like Bill Clinton, how is he able to run a country with all that crap going on, you know, outside the Oval Office, in some cases,
inside the Oval Office.
You call it the Oval Office?
It sounded like.
Yeah. But, you know, there's certain people.
That's on Urban Dictionary somewhere.
There's certain people, like a Belichick or a Bill Clinton, they can compartmentalize this stuff. You know, it's time for football, and it's just football. And, you know, when it's time to deal with this stuff, it's time to deal with this. And they don't let those two things seep into each other. And that's how they become great.
Plus, his other theory is control what you can control.
Right.
And
right now,
this is at a point where there's nothing.
Let your lawyer handle it.
So just worry about football, control that.
Do you think it's going to cause a problem? Not a problem, but a minor distraction in Arizona if he has to go?
Yes, on the because the hearing is like the Monday, so it even brings the story back.
Now, when do we go to the Super Bowl? When do we
Sunday. Sunday?
And he doesn't have to go, though, according to what they said today.
But either way, it puts it back on the front page.
Oh, yes.
It's the day before media day when it's a circus anyway.
Look, I've seen this team deal with worse than this, and I don't think it's going to be a huge deal, but it will definitely resurface at the Super Bowl.
Well, it's going to resurface this week when they rally around it. I fully expect him to have a big game because it's clear it's not
just
an issue. They tried to – you know, I've heard questions, is it extortion, is it blackmail? They tried to – overpower him and like guilt him into paying them so that they wouldn't ruin his perfect season. I fully expect to see Tom Brady hitting him for two touchdowns and say, look what you did. You went to the media and he's still on top of the world.
You know who I feel for in all this too? Is that nice guy, Norv Turner. The first time he comes in here, they got the Spygate thing that they rally around.
That's
now
true.
He's coming in again. Now they got the Moss thing. It's just like that old, the nice guys finish last.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen.
And he's going to finish.
Eric, did you have anything interesting?
No.
So it was pretty much the same as every other day.
Matt Light was among the missing at practice today. There were two guys missing. He was the notable one.
Okay.
And
Mel
Mitchell was the other one. Yep.
Okay.
But Light was scheduled to be at the podium for a press conference today, and they at the last minute scrapped that. He was seen walking through the locker room at one point.
I'll go check out Bass Pro. He could be over there.
That's a possibility. Yeah. Big fan of Bass
Pro. Maybe he has the flu.
That's what I was trying
to. That's going around.
I was trying to say that, you know, we were talking about that in the locker room last year, leading up.
Gary has it.
Leading up to the AFC Championship game, what, like 8 or 9 guys
that's
had the
true.
Flu, and they were listed as having.
And I got
that.
Blamed for it.
That's right, coming back from San Diego.
Because you spread it on the plane.
See, you know what I don't get? Why don't teams play the Patriots like the Raiders are playing the Redskins here in this Super Bowl?
Because you could. They'll let you do that.
You
no,
could
talking
do
about
that.
Hitting,
still being aggressive with receivers.
Within the first 5 yards. You couldn't hit after 5 yards in that Super Bowl.
Because here's a team that was, you know, similar to the
I know
Patriots.
That everybody thinks Bill Polian made that rule, but.
Here's a team similar to the Patriots and the Redskins who scored all those points. Then they played the Raiders, and they were just jamming. I know they had two good corners in Hayes and Haynes, but. That's what I wonder when you're playing the Patriots. Why don't more teams be physical with them up front? Because pressure on Brady is really irrelevant. He's going to get the ball out one way or another. You got to slow down those receivers.
You have to get
the
pressure and do what Tom's talking about. You can't get pressure and say, we can sit back, because he'll pick you apart.
That's why I thought the Eagles did the best job, because they didn't get a lot of sacks, but they had pressure, and they were
hitting guys. And they played physical. And, you know, it's funny, because I agree with you, but at the end of the game, you look up and – they had 31 points.
Right.
I mean, 24 of them on offense.
But it's I feel like a lot of decisions are made out of fear. They play not
See,
to
I,
get killed.
Right, I would rather.
That's what Jackson all,
it's in hiring
week.
Coaches. It's in hiring GMs sometimes. It's calling plays.
We all praised Andy Reid. Now, Paul's right. They gave up 31 points. But the fact that he came in there and said, we're going to bring it to you instead of just like, to me, it gives you a better chance
like,
of winning.
I have no problem with what Jacksonville did this week, except for in the fourth quarter when you're chasing points still. You now have to do something desperate.
Yeah, you need a turnover. You
they
need
decided there's no way we're letting them just throw the ball deep to Randy Moss. They're not going to get easy scores. We're going to make them paper cut us to death. And the Patriots did. They did it, 8, 10 yards at a time.
you know, Wes Welker, 9 catches but only 54 yards. I think they'll take that.
Right.
So all of a sudden, there, you know, you get to the fourth quarter, it's 28-20. You need to get the ball back. You can't afford to let them go down and kick a field goal because that's game. So now you got to blitz everybody.
Yeah, you got to
jam everybody at the line. You got to do some stuff different.
I just think it's loser mentality.
I agree.
And I think it's from Wednesday. If you come in and you throw a playbook down, they open it and it says, oh, we're going to play cover two. We're going to stay back. We're going to get our linebackers deep and make sure they don't get any big plays behind
us. I agree with that.
You lose.
You might as well just say,
throw the playbook down and say, you know what? We might lose, but let's go after.
Right, and then you get a guy like Lito Shepard who says, "You know, I'll take on the challenge.
Right.
I'll stop Randy."
And it
you
starts
know what I mean?
Wednesday. You get these guys excited in practice. They're blitzing. They're doing these. They're banging the scout team receivers, and it builds towards Sunday.
And I think you also have to do that, knowing that it's probably going to be a couple times I'm going to get burned.
Right,
right.
You know,
instead
Lito Shepard,
of sitting back and hoping Tom Brady gets bored and throws a pick,
you might give one up.
Yeah, Lito Shepard's going to play the same way, even if Randy Moss catches a 50-yard touchdown. He's going to come back the next play and play the same way. And he's going to have confidence that he's not going
to
get
beat. Try to win. Don't try not to lose.
Good. Eric Lancone in Laconia, New Hampshire.
Have you heard about those cheerleaders? I think there was a scandal, maybe a murder, mothers.
Texas, right?
Yeah.
Texas.
I'm surprised you didn't say, why aren't cornerbacks
like a press conference?
I was going to talk about the Eagles, but then I realized you had already talked about them.
Oh, good.
Eric from Laconia, what a canoe. Mercury Morris needs to get a grip. I'm sure that he puts his pads on the same way as the rest of the 72 team with the adhesive towards the panties, but I'm not positive. There is no way to compare and contrast teams separated by three decades in the NFL. In this age of instant gratification, the aspects of the game have changed, such as lack of patience in coaching and the turnover over when teams do not do well. That being said, I don't want to hear from Mercury until the season is over. Please refrain from interacting with him, of course, unless he buys you lunch.
That's true. If he bought lunch, we'd have him on the show anytime. And one interesting thing.
Didn't he kind of say all that you can't compare the errors, by the way?
But they hear what they want, Fred. You can't, Paul, you can't order Charger shirts online, you can.
I was just checking.
Interesting, though, the whole that he really fixates on the Super Bowl loss and the Patriots. Obviously, Bill said, we've been 12 months since we lost to the Colts. We've been trying to get back to where. So there's two very emotional losses there that have now fueled
the
two
under.
The only difference is the parallel.
That they got blown
very
out.
Good outside.
No, I know, but.
Wasn't even close.
It was but emotionally, it was probably more painful the Patriots lost to the Colts. That's a bigger mark.
He's funny.
On the phone right now is Rodney from Greenville.
Harrison?
I don't know.
We don't know Rodney, do we?
Rodney.
Rodney.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Hey, man, I can't complain a bit. How about you guys?
We're doing good.
Hey, look, I didn't know whether y'all guys brought up the subject or not, but have we ever taken a look at the upcoming 2008 opponents? Seems like we got four West Coast trips, this upcoming next year. And,
we know.
We do.
Yeah.
We're dreading it.
I'm pumping that resume.
We've been bitching about this for like 3 years now when we saw it on the schedule coming way in advance.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I took a look at that, a couple of buddies of mine and go, Jesus Christ, man. I just hope they don't come in consecutive weeks,
Are you on a submarine, Rodney? I hear like radar in the background.
No, that's just me not wearing my seatbelt.
Oh, okay.
No, he's in church.
So he's on the phone with no seatbelts on, looking to crash.
Driving down the highway. That's.
I see what you did there.
Oh, no, not at all. Hey, Tom there?
Yeah, Tom's here.
Hey, Tom, look, when you guys go to the draft, I got somebody I want you to take a look at from local around this way. Guys, Chris Johnson from East Carolina, running back.
Right, yeah.
You've seen him?
Yeah, he's. I watched that. I taped that bowl game and watched it over. He had a great game.
Who's the player?
Chris Johnson, the running back. He's very underrated. He's done a lot of things in college football. He doesn't get talked about much. Probably like a third or fourth round draft choice.
Right.
But
right.
Maybe one of those all purpose guys. Yeah. No, we'll definitely take a look at him for sure. We'll put it on the website.
There you go. Appreciate it, fellas.
Okay.
Hi, right, Rodney.
All right.
He did sound like that old Sea Voyage show.
He was swearing like a sailor. I never understood guys like Rodney when you say like he says, I can't complain. They're so happy.
Right.
What are you happy about?
That's so un-Tom.
I was going to say, they obviously don't know Tom. He could find something to complain about at any time.
He also kind of reminded me of that guy on King of the Hill. Like, I couldn't really understand him.
Chris from the Bronx says, hi, Fred. Just to clarify, the Texas cheerleader mom was arrested for trying to hire a hitman to take out a high school girl who's competing against her daughter. She was caught when the guy went to the police and then wore a wire to get her on tape. Thankfully, no one was killed.
I see nothing wrong with that.
That was a few years ago.
She's just, looking, out for her child.
Which time when it came up?
Yeah.
Because we talked about it, and then Fred, who wasn't listening, said, how about that Texas cheerleader mother? You going to read an email?
He's
maybe,
mad.
Maybe
now
not.
You're listening.
Now
you
gonna
take
mad.
A shot at him.
Now
he
he's just going to get mad at you.
Let's see. Warren from the UK.
Gets so mad.
He does. He's like you. He's very sensitive,
I'm not
Gary.
Mad. I'm just waiting for
now,
him
who
to be
started
done.
That? That was James from England who started the MySpace
yes,
page.
Yes, very good,
oh, yeah.
James.
And I believe he's the one that sent me the movie. Too.
Snatch.
So, yeah, so
don't say snatch, though, on the show. Gary gets upset.
You can say the movie. Thanks, Jerry. You're referring to the movie. You the movie.
Well, no, I have a couple things to announce. We have the MySpace/ PatriotsFootballWeekly.com
yes.
web MySpace account.
There's pictures of Andy, myself, and Paul, but no Fred.
Or
and
Eric.
No Eric.
And also,
Eric will take care
I also
want to
announce
to
that I got an email about the official Craig Bunce fan club website. That's been posted. I think it's official Craig
Bunce. Blog.
.com
it's frightening.
Like that,
yeah. Not all that in a bag of chips.
That's up there.
I would advise you all to go there. Just it's kind of like a train wreck. You have to look at it.
And I also want to remind people to fill out the PFW in Progress survey.
If you're from America.
On Patriots. No, you can do it anywhere in the world.
Unfortunately, four of our listeners are. The rest are from around the world.
So we want to hear
nice job,
about
Chris.
What you want to do with the show going forward. And also we want to get your email and home address so we can keep it on file and spam you. No, I'm only kidding.
That's
we,
the only reason
do
you're doing it.
We won't do that. But right now, John in Palm Bay is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Sound excited today.
Oh, yeah. Looking excited.
What's the matter, John? You seen
the AFC Championship game, John.
The AFC
Come on.
Championship. Let's go.
It's a special game. We're privileged to
Plus,
be at this game.
Plus, you live in Florida. I mean, you're loving life.
Yeah, Mercury and Morris told it was 79 degrees.
Yeah, it's not that hot. It's in the 60s.
Oh, okay. It's too bad. It's in the 12s hey, here.
I just got a quick, kind of like a comment, but it could kind of be a question, too. You know how the Patriots don't really play one style? They don't like to play a smash mouth or a West Coast style. They kind of change to what the team...
Right, they adapt, yes.
They adapt. Do you think that's the reason why all these NFL teams or players don't give them a lot of credit? You know, like the Jacksonville and the Chargers, is because with the Steelers you knew you're going to get, and they're going to beat you with that.
Well, you know, I see what your point is. They don't have, like, an image. They don't have, like, something they're known for, like the Steel Curtain or the, you know... And so, you know... Without that, you don't get that reputation.
I think they're known for winning.
Yeah. And
yes, but as a team.
As far as Jacksonville goes, only one person said something stupid. Everyone else there was talking about how well they played and how hard they were to stop. It was only that idiot Reggie Nelson, who we heard at the Combine was a moron and has done nothing to disprove that statement.
And it usually is like one or two people. It's, you know, what's his name? Igor Olshansky saying they know what's up. Well, you know what? I heard like LaDainian Tomlinson say we're going to have to play a great game. You know, a lot of the people say the right thing, but everybody fixates on the one idiot. It's like this show. When Tom says something dumb, everybody fixates on it. We say a lot of smart stuff elsewhere, not Eric.
All right.
Help himself.
That's John in Palm Bay.
Thanks, John.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
I know.
That's web radio.
Did he say he was excited?
What's that?
Wicked excited.
I know.
But he's down because it's 60 something.
I think he did it for my sake, though, because I said he didn't make fun of you. Of course, he had to take a shot at me. He left Paul out of it, though.
Remarkably.
I can't take shots at everybody at the same time. It's hard.
That's a first.
I think you could.
I think you've done it before.
I try. Ed from New Hampshire, been a while since I wrote you. He says, when we heard about the allegations against Moss coming out of Florida, my wife said she suspected the 72 Dolphins were behind it somehow. Maybe you can inform Mercury Morris that the 72 Dolphins' obsession with preserving their record gives rise to such speculation. Then we heard from Moss that the extortion claim rose from a longtime friend in an accident that he did not elaborate on. What kind of accident could that be? I can only picture the swimming pool scene from Meet the Parents, where Ben Stiller spikes the volleyball into the face of his fiancée's little sister.
That was funny.
Tom asked me on air to write back and tell him why I like driving a truck for a living. I like the freedom, the solitude, and the money. I haven't always done this, but it works for me at this time in my life. Nothing beats driving through the night listening to you guys on the podcast or whatever else I feel like listening to. I drive as a team with my wife. She sleeps while I drive. Then we switch. They don't get to talk to each other that much. We are married 25 years, and we are having a ball. It's because you don't talk to each other.
Can't argue if you don't talk.
Right.
I actually, Ed, I kind of like that situation you got going there.
Sounds like Tom's going to be a truck driver.
If you could get ESPN going, Tom's in.
Throw a DirecTV on top of the truck.
And I have talked to truckers before, and that's they do say they – They like the freedom. There
you know,
is a
Andy,
lot of
I'm gonna open road. I'm going to start making fun of you for being a man of the people. It's really Fred.
Yeah, you know, he's hanging around those trucker places.
Yep. Well, they love Sirius.
Well, I thought only Eric hung around truck stops.
Oh, those are rest stops.
Oh, rest areas for Eric.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks
on
for
his
that.
Knees in the high grass.
What? Now
you heard it.
Now, see, there's a line, and you just crossed it again.
Me, Ed and I, we both like to be like alone, but I like to have TV. That's the difference. He likes to drive.
And plus, TV, Allison wouldn't be in the seat. It would be Max, the dog,
right.
in the
Max
seat
the
next
dog.
To him.
Allison will be home making sure the house
Although
is taken
care of. If I have to hear one more story about some stinking snot-nosed kid at school, man, oh, man, it's tough being a husband, let me tell you.
Tom, I think you can get satellite dishes in those trucks now.
Oh, yeah.
Can you?
I think you can
just
get
don't
it.
Go over overpass.
Yeah, that's where we kept losing it on the way to Jersey, remember?
Same thing happens with Sirius Radio, Fred's car.
Not anymore.
Oh, you got that fixed, Freddie?
Yeah. In the new car, it does still.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Oh, once.
It did.
It, like for 2 seconds, you know.
Well, yeah, but it was. I don't remember what it was, but Howard Stern is building towards, like, the climax, and it goes blank. And
the fact
like,
is, it's your cranium blocking the signal, so you shouldn't complain.
That's a good point by Fred.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. I knew the Patriots would find a way to get Moss for less money. They probably paid that woman. But don't you think, even if he is innocent, that this could affect his contract with any team next year? And where the hell is that survey link again?
I think it would hurt here the least.
I have an announcement. Don't send lunch anymore. We don't need it. There's a picture of Craig up now staring us in the face, thanks to Gary Gradecki. And I can't eat with that there.
Andy, you're full of crap.
I think Moss is going to want big money.
So but you don't I think it, this just hurts him maybe elsewhere, but not here. I don't think it hurts him here. Because Bill trusts him if they really think that they know the truth.
Well, here's
but
the thing.
Wouldn't that in turn hurt his price tag? Why would the Patriots pay more than they have to?
Oh, I don't think they will.
Well, I think he's asking, has the price tag dropped?
Here's the thing.
He could be back, but maybe for less money than he would have been.
Here's the thing I think we have to look at, and I don't think fans want to talk about it because they don't want to think about it. When you go undefeated and win a Super Bowl title, you have to wonder what their motives are now. Like, how do we know Moss isn't going to say, well, I got what I wanted, now I want more money? You don't know how it's going to react. You don't know how, you know, Junior Seau and Teddy Bruschi and all those guys, well, that's it for me. Because this has been a tough season, you know, mentally and emotionally.
Right.
And you just got to wonder, like, stuff
You're
like that. Just like, where is Moss going to stand? You know, does he really want to win another Super Bowl? Is it the $10 million that he wants?
My guess is he still wants to be here because of Tom Brady. Now, if the Colts...
That's where I would lean.
If the Colts came, like, if another sure-thing quarterback... And I don't know if there is another sure-thing quarterback.
I was just going to say, you know what? That's a good point that you made, because I was just going to bring that up. I got a feeling the Colts are going to be extremely active.
But they don't. It's against Bill...
Yeah.
Paulian's philosophy.
Right.
I think on the offensive side of the ball, you know he's looking at what Belichick did.
They need to replace Harrison.
Yes, because Harrison, we think he's probably
I think
done.
That's the if only team can... that could knock and Moss would listen. Because I don't think I agree with you that it changes your philosophy, but I think the last thing he wants is to go have to deal with, like we've said, Tennessee needs a receiver.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he wants to go
but
be...
But if the Colts...
The Colts. No, if the Colts can't call it, I think then you get a bidding war.
That would be a hell of a case study right there.
Well, but what happens if Dungy's not the coach there next year?
He's not going to be the coach.
Manning's still the coach, and Manning's still the quarterback, and I think he'd go.
He came for...
The Colts are the closest thing to the Patriots as a lock for an offensive player and to win.
Right.
Sure. And if the Colts are offering him $5 million more a year, and he's saying, geez, they really want to get back to the Super Bowl now. They have a similar offense. Is it that big of a difference?
And I want to, you know, maybe part of me wants to prove that... I made Brady that record.
Yeah, you'll show him by going to Manning.
No, I'm just saying, I can do it.
I want to prove that. Go out to San Francisco with Alex Smith.
But he's trying to show that I can do it for, you know... Whatever great quarterback I'm with, that's the one that's going to be the Super Bowl.
I think that's like Phil Jackson proving it with Kobe and Shaq after he left Michael.
You watch out now. That guy's shown he can coach.
Who?
They got the best record in the Western Conference.
He can coach, but I don't think he proved it when he went from one dynasty to the next and the players.
This did it for me. When I found out they had the best record in the Western Conference, I said, that's it.
They killed by the Celtics.
Last year. It was very similar, just so you know. I just want to temper your enthusiasm a little bit.
The guy's amazing. I hate the Lakers, but every time I look at
they fell apart in the second half last year and barely made the playoffs.
And we don't know what's going to happen. We're just throwing out hypotheticals.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I tend to agree with you guys. I think he will be back here.
I think he'll be back.
It's sort of like a baseball free agent. A couple teams.
They'll give him enough money to where it's not going to be an issue. Right. So I think it'll be fine.
But I think depending on the severity. Now, we don't know anything about this situation. We have to be honest about that. We don't know anything. Now, what happens in 2 months from now if we find out that, you know, what Randy Moss thinks is an accident, you know, isn't so complimentary for Randy Moss?
Or it gets dropped. Pac-Man Jones
thing. Or the opposite.
Dropped.
No, I know. I mean, obviously.
And we do.
I think we all think he's going to be back. So if that happens, I think he's definitely back.
And listen, this does sound fishy, and that sounds really fishy. But we do tend to just dismiss when a woman says something's wrong as a gold digger.
Right.
But if something were to come out where it was actually something did happen, like you guys said, then how does it play out? But this doesn't sound.
Listening to the journalist. She's shady. The woman's shady. You look at the complaint. There's mistakes
it's
on the
strange
thing. The whole thing is shady.
We all talked about it. We all believed Randy Moss yesterday. Yep. I thought he was believable in his rant. But who knows what really happened? And I think if you find out that what really happened was bad, then maybe it does. You know, maybe the Patriots don't want him back, and maybe it destroys his earning. You know, like Andy said, Andy the emailer said. You know, does this price tag end up dropping because of it? It could. Depending on what happens.
Comes out more and more, and he gets put in a
But right now, we're all, Tom is right. You know, we tend to kind of dismiss these kinds of things when a woman kind of cries wolf. You know, we don't know. And for whatever reason, we end up taking that side that, well, he said it was an accident, so it was an accident.
The Duke thing taught us you got to just wait.
Right.
And let the facts come out.
Exactly.
Now, when you think. Henry from Norway has emailed the show before.
Hank!
Now, when you think of Henry from Norway, what image does that give you?
Like? Guy with a beard.
A fisherman's sweater. Right. You know, like in front of a fire.
Huddled up.
Like that commercial. Did you ever see that commercial
where the guy takes his father to Norway and he finds out
they're really from Sweden?
Well, apparently, right. Henry has a kind of a mean edge here. He says he likes the show, but he says he's wondering who would win in a fight between you guys. You would think Paul's got the advantage because he's so fat, but he was probably too slow to move that fat ass. Andy will probably knock you out with a headbutt. Tom, on the other hand, has no special talents. He is a guy that will just use his gun and shoot everyone, saying, "I win." Wow.
Wow. Eric doesn't even get included.
Yeah. Well,
no best friend.
He's got some advice to Eric. You are part of the gang now, but not in a positive way. You are the guy in the gang everyone makes fun of, and you are an idiot. Just like Spence and King of Queens. So here's the thing that can help you. Here in Norway, me and my friends, we are a gang. We used to have
a Norwegian gang.
We used to have a guy Eric.
Who are the Van Buren's?
That's Switzerland. Right.
We always made fun of him. He always started crying. We really didn't like him, just like the rest of PFW feels about you. To get us to respect him a little more, he started making fun of himself. Every time we called him something, he would laugh and agree with us. So here's your blueprint, Eric.
Doesn't work with this crew.
A last thing to Eric. If you admit that Ben Roethlisberger is a good QB, I will never make fun of you again.
Ben Roethlisberger is a good QB.
He couldn't even do it. He couldn't even
He's
do it.
He's a good QB.
It.
Keep making fun of him, Hank. And send
I
the
just
gang
said
over
he
to
was
kick
a good
his ass.
QB. I didn't. I think he's overrated, but he is.
Those
good.
I heard those Norwegian gangs are. Look out!
My friends and I are a gang
in Norway.
Right.
It's like they're like throwing fish at people. What is that?
I love how we make these just generalizations
of what life is like in Norway.
Don't come up to me. I'll knock you out. I'm going to throw the fish at you right now.
He is only. Oh, I am Sven.
Anyway, Mike
that was the character on the Muppet Show. The guy used to throw the fish. Do you
really?
Remember that?
Yeah, that was the Swedish Chef.
Oh, there was another character who actually threw fish at people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Swedish Chef was a different
character,
Henson. But yeah, you know, made generalizations.
Mike and Wilbraham. This is the guy that's going to fight Eric. Anyway,
yes.
He says, "Guys, I just wanted to make a point that Tip should not get into the Hall of Fame. It should be Derek Thomas."
Oh, bite your tongue.
"Paul, I know you will probably get mad at me, but the fact is that Thomas had better stats than Tip in less years. Compare Tip's 100 sacks to Thomas's 126. If Tip gets in, I will be as happy as anyone, but Thomas deserves it as well. Man, I hope Tip does not come after me and use his pinky to kill me," as Andy
said. If he reads this email, he's going to kick your ass.
You don't
have to worry about...
Just in terms of Tip, Derek Thomas was a pass rusher.
Rushed the passer on every play.
Pass rusher. In an era where he probably got to rush the passer more because
from,
it was
from
a little
the weak
later.
Side, by the way.
On some good Chiefs teams. And
Andre Tippett played football.
Taylor wasn't that. He wasn't. Right. Lawrence Taylor wasn't just a pass rusher like Derek Thomas was.
But more so even Tippett. Everybody that talks about how he played was as good against the run as he was against the pass. And
played
wasn't
the strong side over the tight
played
end.
Played the strong side, was impossible to block. As I said this morning, you ever hear that Jamie Dukes guy? How come he never talks about you? He goes, I never met him, but I ran over him a few times. And he went on to say, you see that suit he wears? They made him pay twice. It's so wide.
Should I be sharing this?
I know, right?
This is what I think. If Thomas retired and didn't die,
He wouldn't even be getting consideration.
Right.
Wouldn't even be getting consideration. Well, a lot of different football people have told me that he is very overrated.
Well, at that point, but if he had kept on doing it over
more retired
years?
At the point where he passed away, I'm saying, and said, I'm done with football.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the other issue is that people have talked about is the pass rushers have been splitting the vote. Dent, Tippett,
Fred Dean,
Thomas, and Dean. And he was hoping that some of those wouldn't be involved. Because they have tended to split the vote, and that hurts their overall chances.
See, I don't get that. To me, that's the problem with the Hall of Fame right there. Who deserves to go? Don't split votes between pass rushers.
Rank the 17 in order of best to worst.
Do you think Richard Dent deserves to go in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
Not, do you think he's better than Fred Dean? Do you think he's better than Andre Tippett? To me, that's all crap.
I have one for you guys. What do you think of Ray Guy?
I think he should be in the Hall of Famer.
You know what?
I think he should be in.
Now, why? This is not a disagreement.
You know, Eric obviously thinks he should be.
Forget you. You think that's actually a position.
I think he's the Jerry Rice of punters.
You know, I think that he was the best.
And everybody agrees that he's the best. Yeah.
I think he's the best punter of all time. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, is a punter important enough to be a Hall of Famer?
He's on the football team. He's got a position. He should
be in
it.
He's a position. Right.
I don't know anything about Ray Guy.
This is not the argument against him. I'm asking.
I don't think you should have 20 punters in the Hall of Fame, but if everybody believes that this guy was by far and away the best that ever played the game,
I think he was excellent. But one of the arguments I heard for him Monday was that he was such an integral part of what the Raiders did. And I'm thinking to myself, this was when he played for the Raiders, they were one of the best teams in football.
He hit the roof in the Astrodome.
How many times was he punting? And how many jams was he punting them out of? When they're, you know, for the majority of his career, they were one of the best teams in football, if not the best. How important was Ray Guy to their success?
But, Paul,
I don't know.
If they allow administrators to be voted into the Hall of Fame.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be allowed to be in.
No, I'm just, you asked the question, so I'm answering your question. If they allow non-football players to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, a football player should be allowed to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
But again, I'm not saying he shouldn't be allowed. I'm wondering, is he good enough to be in? That's
all. Of course he is.
Okay.
I think he is. You know, that's one guy.
I don't know.
You know, because you know how tough I am. But when I think of Ray Guy,
you're pretty tough now. As a matter of fact, I've been calling
you Brody Fish at you.
From now on, I'm going to call you Nails.
You know,
that's how tough I think you are.
When I think of punting, I think of Ray Guy. You know, he's synonymous with, you know, good punting.
Yeah, and
I think of Reggie Roby.
I'm not arguing that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'm asking what you guys think, and that was, you know.
The other thing about those pass rushers, I could argue Harvey Martin up against Dent and Dean, and he's not even up. He never even gets into the final 17. So to me, that eliminates those two right there, because I can argue another guy who doesn't even get into the final 17. In my opinion, out of all the names there, Tippett's the one that gets overlooked the most, and I think that's a shame.
Finally, Mike says, if you guys think I'm a good enough writer, mostly Andy, who said I should replace Eric, email me back, and I could do something like that thing on ESPN where I write for the paper, except I mostly bash Eric. I have written for my local paper, and I am writing you right now for my journalism class. If you want me to do anything, that would be great. Call us in
Pay attention
years,
in journalism
call
class.
Call us in a couple of years.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know when I hear back from that.
Yeah, we might have an opening. Tom's been looking to jump ship.
Or you could do like that little 12-year-old kid does on ESPN on Countdown.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's
or he could come here and kick your ass.
I blame you for that, Fred.
For what?
Eric not listening.
Oh. Chris in the Bronx wants to know the URL of that MySpace thing. It's myspace.com/PFW.
W in progress.
Is it PFW in progress or Patriots Football Weekly?
PFW in progress.
Now,
if somebody wanted to start a competing MySpace page, we're pretty big.
And also, thanks a lot, and thanks to Andy for the Chinese lunchbox thing. I don't think I'll be eating dinner tonight.
Can I see that, by the way? I don't know
you might not want to.
It's not good.
It's not pretty. Chinese lunchbox. Not as cool as a Chinese home run.
A lot of emails here coming in.
Is Chinese home run offensive? Can someone answer the question?
A Chinese home run?
When you hit it over the backstop foul.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
Probably.
Yeah, no disrespect. Seriously, every
I'm
little...
I'm going to go with probably.
Every little kid who plays Little League Baseball knows the term Chinese home run.
Never heard it before.
Well, is Chinese fire drill offensive?
Yeah, that too.
That is offensive.
You think it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are they offensive? And what is the...
That one they say is offensive, the Chinese fire drill.
Yeah. The Chinese say it's offensive?
People that tell me not to say
Well, people tell me that the girl should be offended because she got booed at thing, and she said, I don't care.
I'm telling you what society is saying.
Next email has to do with that.
Oh, I knew that. But tell me why it's offensive that it's a Chinese home run? Or somebody from China.
Home run
Screw you. I don't need you. People in China. Chiba. Our great listeners of Chiba. Email me and tell me.
I thought it was using the term Chinese was offensive.
Now we can't say Chinese?
No, in the context.
No,
only if you're ordering food.
I would think.
Unless you're Cedric Maxwell on a Celtics game.
I'm certainly not an expert on PC because I'm with Tom. Nothing really
John
offends.
John Rook is. He does play
nothing really offends Tom and I. But wouldn't it indicate that it's a backwards home run?
It's like
a Chinese fire drill
is
you screw it up.
Right.
It's not really the fact that it's Chinese. It's you're saying that those people, Chinese people, screwing things up.
Yeah,
isn't that the
saying.
Negative connotation?
Oh,
that's
I thought
saying.
With the home run, it's going backwards, so it's going toward China rather than...
I thought it was upside down and backwards.
That's what I think, and that's why I think they
like
would be offensive.
Taking a hold of China.
They'll show us how... You know, how
well, that's because China's on the other side of the world.
Well, that's different.
But actually, you know what it isn't?
All right. They're going to be taking over the world soon, Fred, so once they bomb us and get rid of us, they'll be the whole world.
Then it'll be an American home run.
That's fine. You know, I don't
Although
mind.
Although you'll be having a football game there.
As long as we're all going, I don't care if they do. I just don't want to miss anything. So if we all go together.
I'm
that's
ready
fine.
To go. Let's go.
I'm not ready to go.
Paul's like,
where are we going? I don't
drop the
go
bomb, no. baby. I'm ready to go.
No, I'm not ready to go.
I was
anywhere.
Ready that one day.
Boy, marriage
was
is really taking the spirit out of
me. Once I came back from Dallas, I was ready. Let's go.
It's it. He's seen it all now, right?
Dallas was last night on American Idol.
I got a lot of living to do with my kids and stuff. I'm not ready to go yet.
And I don't want
to
have
Why? You don't even know how
bomb.
To make a snowman, you terrible parent.
Oh, you know, I meant to talk to you about that. I was driving down the street today when I got out, and there was two houses, one on each side of the street. One had a worse-looking snowman than even mine was, and one had one that I said, now that's a snowman.
Paul doesn't know how to make a snowman.
How the hell?
I realized I don't really know how to make a snowman.
You know how to make a snowball?
Yeah.
Eric knows a lot about snowballing.
I know.
Today's word of the day, snowballing.
I made a bad snowman with Will.
Well, why was it bad?
It just was, you know, was...
He piled up
not
snow
really
and put
round.
A bucket on top as a hat.
It wasn't really round.
Did you roll it?
No.
He didn't know that technique.
I wanted Will to do it.
You're 50 years old. You don't know how to make a snowman?
I've never made a snowman, and I'm not 50 years old.
Haven't you ever seen the Bugs Bunny cartoons when they start rolling down the hill? And it's
I just kind of thought
bigger.
In real life it wouldn't really be like animation.
I've also seen Bugs Bunny cartoons where the coyote falls off the cliff and it's still alive.
It comes away unscathed. Yeah, I just figured it wasn't the same thing.
You talked about the girl that got booed. Gary from Washington, Illinois says, my friend works at the NBC station in Indy, sent me this email. I thought I'd share it with you. He has filmed Colts games for years and has made several trips to Foxborough with the Colts. He says, you're not going to believe this. The TV station spent over $1,000 today just to do a satellite interview with this girl from a TV station in Manchester, New Hampshire. Then to top it off, all the station is giving her the VIP treatment for the Indy 500. Tickets to the suite, tickets to the parade,
this is
tour
ridiculous.
The track. Can you believe it?
She's cashed in.
I've worked
Good
at
for
the
her.
Station. I've worked at the station for
I think
over
she's
11
brilliant.
Years, and I have never been in our suite at the track, the Dome, or Conseco Fieldhouse.
I hope she turns it down.
She said during the interview, I cannot believe how everyone is making such a fuss. Thank you for at least having some class, girl. There are a lot of idiots out there, including the jerks at this TV station.
I say she turns it down and says, thanks, but no thanks.
I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I would
Why would
it.
You pass up that
Take anything
opportunity?
You can get.
Absolutely.
This is your 15 minutes. Live place. It and love it.
So it's great. So
when's she going to get a chance to
she's
be in
winning,
the
like, the golden
something.
Ticket. All right, well, she's going to the AFC title game.
All right,
going
I'll, tell
to the
you what. I'll tell you what. If
I
she's going to do that. If
the golden ticket, I like that.
If she's going to do that, she should wear her Patriots gear to that.
All right.
Ooh.
That's what she should do. Give him
so, and she'll get booed.
Judging
then
by,
she'll get more stuff out of it.
Judging by your reaction here, I'm thinking that you think it was like really offensive that they booed
very
the girl.
Classless.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on.
I thought it was
the Prince of Pomposity has spoken.
I thought it was funny.
And by the way, so did she.
I'm not saying
right.
it wouldn't happen
if a kid
here.
Came this weekend wearing a Colts jersey here,
that.
I think he should
oh,
get
oh,
booed.
Oh, no, they would just beat him unconscious.
I'm not saying they would.
Like they did to the Jacksonville people.
Not saying it wouldn't happen here, Paul. I'm just saying it's classless either way.
It was funny. It was really not meant to be mean. It was like very Mariano Rivera-like before the opening day, as Andy pointed out either yesterday.
And she
or
handled
Tuesday.
It the same way Rivera did.
Pitcher, absolutely.
Now the whole world's in an uproar. Johnson.
Pitcher number 42, Mariano Rivera.
That's still one of the funniest things I can remember in that kind of a setting.
Fred, make sure you read Hank's email. Did you get this one, the new one that came in?
Hank
in Norway with the gangs.
Just for the record, gangbanger. I don't have a beard. I don't look like a Viking or something. I'm 19 years old, and I'm 5'9", not fat, nor especially thin. If you see me, you wouldn't think I'm who I am, an idiot. That's probably the reason I have never had a girlfriend for more than 2 weeks, which is still 2 weeks more than Eric.
Oh.
And when I said gang, I didn't mean like gangster gang. I meant like friends gang. And I'll buy lunch one day.
Oh, excellent.
We have a young crowd, huh?
We do.
Fred, maybe he has the long. You know what he has, Fred? He has the long blonde hair. He's like a Viking,
right.
Like Kyle Turley.
How was that surprising?
No, but we're like going to your first rated R movie with the things they hear on this show.
I know. We really do have to clean it up.
Our newspaper demographic is old. It's all these old people that move back and forth between Florida and Massachusetts.
We got to get rid of that freaking thing.
It's a different media.
That newspaper ain't doing anybody a bit of good.
Is the reason we're here,
especially
you know.
With the ad count during the playoffs.
Oh, that's got nothing to do with us.
No,
I didn't say it did.
Prior planning.
We're gonna get invited to that party on Saturday.
No,
I'm not going anyway.
Are we really not gonna get invited?
So.
It's amazing that we get treated at.
I'll get you a pin, Andy.
Other cities than we do in our own town.
I know.
There's no way it's gonna live up to that indie party. Man, that was good fun.
Well, it's here.
Let's see. Touché. Andrew says, hey, Cork Soakers, just dropping by and saying how much I love the show and was wondering if you could ask Cali Girl to hook me up with her sister.
Hey, I got dibs on her.
I'm 15 and a singer/actor, and that doesn't make me gay either, like Eric. Gosh, his name is spelled with a K. You should have him on the TV show just so we can see how gay he looks, which will give us more to make fun of him about.
Can't believe we're big with the 17-year-olds.
Yeah, I know. And you're surprised.
I think Paul's onto something. This is like R-rated for them. They're getting away with something.
That's what Gary said.
Oh, Gary said
juvenile
that.
Humor. You're appealing to juveniles.
Oh, and it's beneath you because I'm pompous.
Didn't say that, you idiot. God bless you. Caught myself there.
Although I've never seen the venom and hatred people have as they do towards you.
I know.
Like
seriously.
When I first started the show, people hated me. They couldn't stand me.
Not like
me.
This.
But then they, you know, slowly they kind of came around a little bit. Some people still hate me, but some people like me now. Nobody likes you.
That's fine.
Nobody.
It's because of the air of pomposity.
What's going on there?
Did
What's the problem?
I don't know. I'm not really worried about it.
I think they're
it,
just
Tom.
Jealous.
Tell you the truth.
He's got a job there. Dana says to Andy, Boston Red Sox is by far the worst definition in Urban Dictionary.
I'm not familiar with that one either.
Boston Red Sox. I can only imagine.
I don't want to know anything about that.
I can already. Yeah,
I don't want to go down that road.
That's going.
I do not want to go down that road. Gary, Google Boston Red Sox.
I thought you didn't want to go down that road.
It's a train wreck. You can't help it. You got to look.
By the way, I figured out why we couldn't get food today.
Why?
The TV crew has about 50 pizzas, 25 order of wings, and a dozen salads.
Yeah, they need to gain some weight. That's a good idea.
So we didn't get food at all?
I saw one guy there under 250.
Grab some from them.
Can we go steal some?
Yeah, so just go in there and get some.
They have wings?
Yes.
Oh, they do. I can see them.
What am I Googling?
The wings
Boston in the Red Sox, not Googling. UrbanDictionary.com. Boston Red Sox.
No, it was an hour and a half wait.
For crying out loud!
You still thought food was coming?
Well, I
the only reason he's still here.
Prepared for
that's all right. In 15 minutes, you can go get us something.
I might have to leave a little early, actually.
Can you
get
us
something from those TV people?
I have something to do at 5 of 2. I have to go.
Oh, you have to leave the show early.
Jonathan's got a thing.
Let's see. Gary from Syracuse says, guys, I thought you might get a kick out of this article. The title is "Packers Fan Creates a Sticky Situation with Son." Did you guys hear about this?
Oh, no. I did.
Oh,
actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awful. Unbelievable.
Matthew Cowell's 7-year-old son didn't want to wear a Green Bay Packers jersey, and apparently that didn't go over too well. Cowell, 36, of Pardeeville, Wisconsin, was cited for disorderly conduct after he restrained the child with tape for an hour and taped the Packers jersey onto the boy Saturday during the Packers divisional playoff game against the Seahawks, according to Lieutenant Wayne Smith of the Columbia County Sheriff's Department. Cowell's wife, who later filed a restraining order, took pictures of the incident with her cell phone, and they were used as evidence to arrest and charge her husband. Oh, it's probably God. A good thing the Packers won.
So it seems like a good father.
Yeah. Yeah. He spent a couple of days.
Red Sox is nothing, Andy.
In the pokey, as Craig was
saying. They're crazy up there in Wisconsin. You hear they pulled Seinfeld off.
That's I like that. I thought that
that's
was
amazing,
funny.
Too.
It's Eli Manning's favorite show. So
good. I like
on
that.
TV.
That's
funny.
Like when
it's
the
on.
Eagles played the Cowboys years ago and they pulled Philadelphia cream cheese from the shelves in Dallas. I like
that's
stuff
funny.
Like that.
That's good stuff. It's gamesmanship. That's good stuff.
You like that?
Yeah.
It's just funny. It's kind of a funny.
A game is a game. Have fun with it.
Yeah, and I think that way it treats it that, you know, like it's
right.
It's not life or death, but for that week, let's just pretend
right.
That
I was
we
hate about this. Be
so you're all for taping the kid on the kid.
Yeah, I was going to say,
no,
well,
not
the
that.
The kid.
I'm talking about funny things right. Like not showing
no.
Seinfeld.
Yeah,
for a
no,
week.
We're not talking about the taping the shirt to the guy.
Plus, Seinfeld's guy, stupid anyway. No,
they should throw away the key to that guy.
Well, and plus, you know, raise your kids right. Have them wearing cowboy jerseys.
Maybe the kid wanted to wear a Cowboys jersey.
Maybe he did.
Would have been a loser that day.
Yeah. Now, what do you guys think about the Super Bowl? Let me ask you here. Where do you think the advantage lies? Now, the Packers are the better team. I think we all agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Than the Giants. Yeah. Yep.
But the Giants have the luxury of having played the Patriots, so they kind of know what they're getting into a little bit. I think teams that haven't played them can get kind of shell-shocked mm-hmm. off the bat.
But so, Bill has the luxury of having played the Giants, too. I don't know how that one goes. And I also think... Brett Favre is still capable of, like, some ridiculous game.
That's the thing I would be worried about because yeah. I think a guy like Muhammad Ali, who was a legend no matter what, but then he fought George Foreman, and he took his legendary status from, you know, up to another notch.
Yep.
If Favre can somehow come in and beat the Patriots, he's one of those guys where that legend keeps growing
and
growing.
And he does
and
it. Like
growing.
Elway. He'll do it. Like every once in a while, he throws one of those ridiculous games out there. And yeah. If that's
I
on
agree.
The Super Bowl against, maybe he's the guy that goes, you know, Brady, I can match you. Touchdown.
I agree. I think the Patriots would win either way, yeah. Obviously, but I would be more fearful of Green Bay than
the
Giants.
With the Packers, I think it's a very simple thing. If Favre is on... They have a shot. Yep. If he's Brett Favre that we saw in Dallas, it's going to get ugly, right. And it's going to get ugly
well,
in a hurry.
I'd rather have Green Bay for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is I don't want to have to put up with New York fans for a week.
The whole key awful. Would be that Dallas thing. Right away, Dallas got the lead, and then you know Favre kind of looked like I have to flash it back to 5 years ago and start play action and heaving it down the field like Felger always talks about.
And we saw it last time when we were in Green Bay.
If he stays under control and just does his regular quick slants and stuff with Jennings and Driver and stuff, and they continue to be able to run Ryan Grant, you would think offensively they might be able to get in a shootout and not really be terrible. And I also think Green Bay, the way they play defense, is the style that we were talking about an hour ago. You know, Al Harris, these guys, they'll get physical and they'll play press. They think they can stop people.
And they might actually have the best corners to match up with the Patriots in the league.
Yeah. Now, that said, I don't see the Patriots scoring less than 25 or anything like that, but I think they might make you work for it and maybe cause you some problems along the way.
And if you make a mistake, they might be able to take advantage.
Right. Whereas I saw the Giants match up defensively, and they were holding on all night.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, Ken from Canton. If I were Moss or a Moss apologist, I would be asking a lot of questions about this charge and why it looks like a money grab. One, if the event took place on January 6th, why did it take them until the 15th to go to court? Two, if there was the kind of personal attack by Moss that warrants a restraining order, why weren't the police brought in and criminal charges filed that day? And three, why haven't criminal charges been filed to date? Actually, I was listening to radio this morning. Harry Mannion, you know, the attorney, came on and kind of answered all those questions very well. You know, the fact is that it was probably shady to begin with. Once you bring the police in, now you got to prove it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. If there isn't physical evidence.
And her case falls apart, maybe. And...
So they tried for the money grab first, and, you know, now they've come to this. Clearly.
So was Harry kind of indicating that he thinks it's probably what Moss says?
Yeah. He says everything.
And it's legal, he said.
Yeah.
It's not extortion.
Right.
Because
it's
there is an actual event that took place.
Right.
It's just the interpretation of it. So as I found it strange that what they did, calling him and saying, give us this money or we're going to do X, Y, and Z. That sounds very shady to me, but apparently it's legal.
Hey, Moss called it extortion.
Yeah.
You know what I would do if I was Moss?
It's not. In the legal sense, it is not extortion because there was an event.
So they're saying it's like a making a settlement kind of thing?
Yes, exactly.
I would agree with him. I mean, like we said yesterday, all of us all agreed. When we listened to Randy, we all believed him.
Yeah.
If I was, it sounds like a shady thing. If I were Moss, I would call it up and say, listen, I give you 10 grand, that's all you're getting, go away.
Six figures, homie.
I'm just saying, she's got to know now that she's probably not going to get anything.
She bit off more than she could
chew. Yeah, here's 10 grand, get out of my face, here you go.
Also, Ken says, I think the issue of how good or bad the defense is basically a matter of degree. Giving up just 17 points a game is indicative of a very solid defense, especially when you consider great defenses of the past are ones that allow 12 to 14 points per game. Why can't we just agree that the Pats have a solid defense and a historic offense and just let it go? 3, the one stat that should send Stanley Morgan to the Hall of Fame is his 20 yards per catch average. That is just outrageous, especially since it occurred over such a long career, over 15 years, all done during an era where everything wasn't set up to support the passing game. And also, how come this story hasn't drawn any attention? San Diego linebacker Phillips said in Sirius NFL Radio that the Chargers had stolen Manning's audibles. Doesn't that imply that they illegally used recording devices to get Manning's signals? Why did this story fly under the radar?
Because they drove under an overpass when he said it and no one heard it.
Very well done.
It's on Sirius.
Does stolen have to indicate that they did it illegally?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, maybe they just used their eyes and ears and maybe figured
besides
it out.
Besides the fact that they didn't do a very good job of picking them up because they never stopped them all day.
Yeah, I think, well, I know you're grasping because your team was accused of something and got in trouble, but.
Let it go.
It is what it is.
The Stanley Morgan stuff is, I mean, his numbers are
And he's right. The yards per catch is the ridiculous.
He's got an argument to get in. He's definitely got a good argument to get in.
Unfortunately, he just got into the Patriots Hall of Fame list this fall.
Don't get me started on that.
All right. I got to go upstairs. You guys can finish off the last 5 minutes of the show. And then Chris Price, Mike Parente will be filling in.
That's not bad. It usually doesn't get our names right.
They'll be filling in for John. I didn't even know they were coming today.
Well, Rook's on
vacation. When did this happen?
Again.
Darren!
Does Rook ever work? Rook has the best gig in the business.
All right.
I got it, Fred.
You got what?
This is his little joke.
Oh, Darren? I didn't get
it
at all.
It's from Seinfeld.
Oh, I figured.
Parente, I just want to say congratulations on beating a team coached by my grandfather to get to the NFC Championship game. Good job.
It took Tom a while to come to grips with that, by the way, Mike. So that's actually pretty good.
I just don't like losers. I've never liked losers, and I can't stand losers. And that's what that team is a bunch of freaking losers.
Have we got a new definition here?
Is this the Red Sox
And somebody
one?
In the U.K. is claiming I corrupted them, some 17-year-old in the U.K. Dana in the U.K. I corrupted them.
No
now
question.
I'm getting blamed for things across the pond.
No question about that.
I didn't swear like that guy we had on earlier.
I don't need that kind of stuff.
No, yeah,
I'm not.
Disgusting.
I'm really not in favor of all that.
It's a different firm of sock, Red Sock.
Should I go over there and read an email or something?
Yeah, probably. Right. Somebody should. Or we could just babble for 5 minutes. That's what Fred would have let us do.
This is just
do
wrong.
Do not read it on the air.
But doesn't anyone want to talk football?
Did he log out? The man's a menace.
You know, he ruins this show more than
for someone
Eric.
Who's rich and is advanced in life. He's a real moron.
He really is.
The man's a menace.
Michael Parente, jump on. We'll
hey, there's 5 minutes left. How about a crossover?
Okay, jump on. You're a Giants fan.
Who's going to win this week, Brenny? You on the Giants this week?
Hey, Mike, you bulking up?
You tanning more than usual?
He's wearing smaller
shirts. You darkening
shirt.
Up?
I think he's. I think
that's
he's
cute.
Either. He
Your little brother
like
called.
Lineman.
He wants his shirt back.
That's funny. That's real classy.
Are you
real classy
going
show,
tanning
guys.
More? Why are you so?
Yeah, I tan like every day now.
You really do?
Yeah.
That's not good for you.
I don't really care.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Too short. You know what I mean?
Just talked about us not having class.
What's the reason for the tanning?
The reason for the tanning? Because I look damn good.
Is this for
Do I look good?
I don't think you look that good.
You know
I
what?
Think you, I think you're bulking
I
up
you.
A little bit.
I asked Scalabino. I asked my Paisano.
I agree with
so
you.
Well, you're
better off.
Say, you're better off
you,
not
that
asking
is a good
me
move.
A
you ask the guy.
Show
you ask the guy who likes guys. You know, if you look good, that's
uncalled for. Again,
why do you always look at me like that?
Because right down the drain.
It hurts more coming from you, Paul.
What was the question originally asked here? Anybody?
Giants, Packers.
They got a shot. Packers all the way. No, they don't have a shot. They're gonna screw me somehow. They
will. Do you think
they screw me every single year?
Can you put your idiotic? Can you put your idiotic? You know, biases
My
aside,
Sally
and actually
aside.
Give me an opinion
have,
of what
I speak the truth,
well,
Brenny.
I just don't think they
match up
well.
Tom thought the Cowboys were
going
to win last week. He didn't pull up Mike Parenti.
I can't give any logical reason because I didn't think they matched up well with Dallas, and yet they came out on top. I think the big thing, if they can get to Favre quicker than they got to Romo in that game, then they stand a chance. They didn't really get to Romo until the last three
series.
But those last three series, they were in his face on every snap, and I think that was the difference in the game.
And the Cowboys did a great job of adjusting by doing nothing.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right.
Job adjusting.
You're absolutely right.
And therefore, they gave Jason Garrett $3 million bucks a year. Now
they said, Garrett, you called a terrible game.
And lost
here.
All the rest of the.
I just think it's hard. You know, only two teams in NFL history have won three road games in the playoffs to get to a Super Bowl. I think the odds are obviously stacked against them to do that. Favre's playing pretty good football right now. I don't like the matchup particularly.
Okay.
I don't know.
That was a little better than they screw me every year.
They always find a way, though. Right. Yeah, nine in a row, and the only road game they lost was the opener at Dallas. So they've for whatever reason, maybe because they don't get booed on the road as much as they get booed at home, they probably play pretty well against
the weather.
Yeah, exactly. Just like me. It's going to be like 2 degrees probably.
Yeah, 5 degrees or something like that.
The cold's not going to be a factor. They play in the cold at the Meadowlands, too. I know it's not the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field and all this other crap, but it gets pretty cold in New Jersey.
I like the under of this game.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Sure.
It'd be 42-28. What are you going to do? I don't know if you know, but I haven't picked a game right since, like, Thanksgiving.
No kidding.
I certainly haven't picked a Giants game right all year. I think 1-15.
Oh, there's a shock.
I was 1-3 last
week. I pick them sometimes, too, Parenti.
Do you really?
I'm just saying, when I pick them, they lose, and when... I mean, against the number.
I thought you didn't like losers. You must not like yourself too much.
Giants were the only ones I got right.
I was the
regular
season champ here, Parenti.
Were you?
Yeah. So
wow.
He squeaked it out. Yeah.
I
choked at the end of the season. Yeah. I had the lead for pretty much most of the year.
It's like being the fastest kid in a wheelchair race. Sorry.
Now we're making progress.
That's not nice.
If all the things we said in the first 2 hours didn't get us in trouble, that ought to do the trick.
Just want to bring it down to your level, guys.
What do you got for the show today? We had Mercury Morris. We had our first career guest.
Wow, we don't have
any of their last.
Matter of fact, I think he just stopped talking.
Oh, boy, does that guy babble. Holy Moses.
I have heard him in the past. He's pretty tough to deal with.
He answered every possible question in the first answer to the first question.
Well, I think it was just because Edward R. Kirsch had the great question that elicited that response.
Yeah, well, that Mercury, how's it going?
That was the first question?
We don't have Mercury Morris. We have Chris Price, accomplished author and sports editor
of
Boston Metro.
Why is he hanging out with you?
He is accomplished. Yeah, what's
he's
he doing?
He's writing books.
That's a very good point. And I'm just me.
What's on the Pats fan blog today, Chris?
A whole lot of Q&A.
You're going that transcript route.
No, we're gonna break down. We're gonna break down this game a little bit. Obviously, we're gonna talk about the NFC. We're gonna go a little bit of in both sides of the league here. We're gonna talk a little bit of everything. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Tom brought up this point about 15 minutes ago. Who poses the bigger threat for the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Green Bay or the Giants?
Saying Green Bay because they're the better team, but the Giants have played them already and kind of know what they're getting into.
I think the strengths and weaknesses are better. Let me word this properly.
That has no place on this show.
No, it really
is. Throw it out there. That's what we do.
I think the Giant pass rush would give New England more problems than Green Bay's, and therefore I think that's the only way you're going to slow down the Patriots is to get after Brady and try to disrupt his timing, and maybe they could do that better than the Packers could.
So you're taking the Giants as the tougher matchup.
I think it'd be a tougher matchup. I just don't think the Giants are going to get there because I don't think they match up well with Green Bay.
Sort of like the Colts. So, I thought they were the tougher matchup, but they don't get the chance to
play the
game.
Exactly, right. I still think if the Colts were here, it'd
Patriots
be a better
right
game.
Right out on the way to 19-0.
Right again, Andy.
All right, and there's going to be 2 more hours of that kind of idiotic analysis.
We got an email before we see you next
Friday.
Breaking
emails, it's Hank again.
Oh.
One last thing. This is a record for me. 3 emails in one day. I'm so proud of myself. First, I want to thank Fred. You always answer my emails. Thank you. Second, I want to thank Andy. Listening to you making fun of Eric was an inspiration. Great stuff.
There's a setup here.
No. And to Tom, it's really interesting listening to you. You're pretty much always wrong. 9 out of 10, you're wrong. So I finally understood what you're all about. And Eric, you have replaced the guy we made fun of in my gang. That's the best thing you have ever brought to the show. I will try to stop making fun of you, but it won't be easy. But like I said, I will try. Actually, no. I'll continue like I always do. So long for this time.
All right, Henry, you keep eating fish and wearing those stupid-looking sweaters or whatever it is you people do in Norway. We'll be back tomorrow. Parenti and Price coming up next.
I'm going to have my Mr. Rogers sweater on saying, with my cookies that I've been baked since 1973, saying I had them in the freezer, but they're still good.